For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Sherwood Forest in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I am your lovable, huggable, mid-morning chat host, Eric Von Hessler. And we have a skeleton crew and some help this morning. Man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews, has the day off. Handsomest producer in all of producery, Jared Yamamoto. Jury duty.
Doing his duty.
He's doing his duty, and in for him is you, English Nick.
Me.
And Autumn Fisher is here as well. And she, you know, she's got many voices herself.
Oh, plenty of them.
On a day like this, though, I hope she doesn't embarrass herself by going into her Donald Trump. I say stay in your lane. She'll join us in just a few moments. I'll tell you a couple of things. One is I'm upset that I did the right thing last night.
Which was
to go to bed early and not watch all of the football game. I can't stand when the NFL does this. There's only two games, and they start the second game late, and I have to make the decision. You know, I'm going to stay up till 10 o'clock or something. You never know with these games. When did it end? 10, 10, 15?
I think a little bit later than that, yeah.
Yeah, they keep going, and I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I saw the first half, and I thought, this is not going to be a blowout, but I know the Packers are going to win, which they did. But then I read that came down to the very end.
Yeah, they went the long way to win it. They were miles ahead.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
Well, Seahawks came back, and then it was, you know, 5 points in it at the end. But
and then that first game, my goodness. I will say this as, you know, for people just tuning. I mean, I'm a Falcons fan, but I was born in Western New York, and I'm a Bills fan. I feel for those Texans fans. Mm. I got to tell you, as a fan, nothing can hurt worse than that. They were up 4-0 by the second quarter or something like that. And then not only lost, but got blown out in the end. So for once, I have to say, it didn't happen to the Bills fandom. But man, I felt that's got to be awful. Can you imagine if you're a Texans fan, by the second quarter, you're popping the champagne. You're going. And then not only do you end up losing, but you end up getting killed. That seems almost impossible. And then the other thing that has me not upset. There's nothing in me this morning that comes in upset.
Irked. You're a little bit irked?
Just a little bit. You know, our friend Jared Yamamoto
is
not here because he has jury duty. And you showed me, and he was complaining about it all last week. And I know it's a pain. I've gone down there a couple of times, was never chosen.
Yeah, it screws up your schedule. Sure. You get there, sometimes they send you home.
Yeah, they sent me home.
$30 a day or whatever it is.
Hey, you know, $30 a day.
Pays your lunch and your parking.
That's right. That's right. So, it's a pain. But I think he kind of goes overboard, and you showed me that
his Instagram story, his Insta story.
Yeah, he's all sad because he has to do jury. You know what? It's the system. You know, one day you might be on trial.
Yeah, you might need those jurors to help you out.
We can make fun of Jared Yamamoto, but, you know, he's a reasonably bright individual. Mm-hmm. I don't think you would mind him he's fair-minded. You know, we have a democracy. We have a jury by your peers.
Yeah.
And in order to have a jury by your peers have to be willing to give up a day or two every couple of years. And now, usually, most people are afraid they're going to be on one of these trials that go on for weeks. Apparently, those are rather rare. I know a lot of people have done jury duty, and most of them are one-day deals.
They're quick cases, yeah.
Yeah, you just go up or down. Hopefully, you know, he's 30 years old. And now, you can't do jury duty, can you? You have a green card.
Yeah, I'm not a citizen yet.
But you would probably get into it.
I'd step up and do it. Of course I would.
Now, I would appeal if I was guilty. I'd say, hey, this guy, they weren't even American.
He doesn't understand what's going on.
What does he know about this
system?
Does
he even speak English?
Does he even speak English? Even if his name is English Nick. His first name is English.
I would wear one of those wigs that they wear in England. Even though the jurors don't wear them.
Yes, the barrister.
I don't know.
The right honorable.
If I looked over there and I saw a guy wearing one of those English barrister things, I think that I would feel like, well, you know, I'm going to get good justice here. This guy knows what he's doing. He came prepared, brought his A game. All right, let's get started with this.
Headlines for Monday, January 13th.
All right, English Nick, you're on the spot. What are the headlines?
Oh, Iran faces fresh protest after admitting it shot down that plane, killing 176 people.
Yeah. You know, what I've noticed is, and this is the most important, everybody, by the time we talk about this, everybody's heard a million different points of view. So I'd like to go to the underlying and what I noticed about the Iranian coverage. And I think it's something people need to really look out for. When our media, whether it's your favorite blog, your favorite 24-hour news channel, however you get your thing, we tend to describe things that are happening in other countries as monolithic when they're not. We seem to have trouble realizing that in other countries, it's a lot like this country in this sense. People disagree about things. Opinion is not monolithic. And a good example is early last week, or after when they were doing the funeral for the general that we killed, it was portrayed to us as if all of Iran was distraught over the U.S. killing of this general. When in reality, just like here, the truth there is some were, many weren't.
They disagree.
There's disagreement inside of societies. Things are not monolithic. Listen, that's Salome. Look, there are a lot of people over there. I mean, I'm sure they have their own version. People get mad at me because they don't understand humor and think I'm making a one-to-one. But I'm sure they have their version of Lee Greenwood. You know, sure. I'm proud to be an Iranian where we can kill everybody we want. Or I don't know. Whatever. But you have people over there who are all behind the government and the theocracy and the spreading of whatever. And you have an awful lot of people who are against it. You know, it didn't get much coverage here, but a few months back, Iran tried to raise the price of energy on the people because they're being squeezed by us so much and they're broke. And there were huge riots, and the government killed hundreds, maybe thousands of people in these riots. And the people know that Soleimani, the general we killed, is really the point person behind that. Mm-hmm. So in that society, you have two points of view. And in reality, we don't know which one is 50% plus. But there are two points of view. There are people who feel like the theocracy has to be kept and sacred and all that. And then there's a lot of people who hate all of that, want a different, more open society. And for those people, they're not going to go on Twitter and get themselves in trouble, but they're very, very, very happy and thankful that the United States took out somebody that they can't stand. And when it comes to this one, so if you look at last week, we were told everybody in Iran is distraught about the general we killed, and now the coverage has flipped to the other side. Everybody in Iran is mad at the government about the fact that they lied about shooting down that airliner, and most of the people killed on that airliner were Iranians or Canadians. There were other nationals, no Americans. But the truth is, again, some are, some aren't. We're not down there and close enough to them to know which side has 50%+ in that society. So you can think what you want about killing the general. You can think what you want. All the conspiracy theories are starting about the plane. That's natural. The important thing to understand when you're watching coverage of stuff that's way far away is always take it with a grain of salt, because it's there as here. Opinion is split on most things, but here, hell, we can't even figure out who's up and who's down here. How are we going to do it over
there? It's always 52% and 48% here.
All right, we're going to take a break here because we're going to have extra traffics for you. Good with the weather and stuff going on, we want to keep you up to date. Go ahead. I believe that I have an open mic here about this.
Hey there, Parker. This is for Eric and the Doctrinaires.
I guess he's Parker.
To put up a fact and a couple questions about that plane getting shot down in Iran. As I understand, every single plane has flight following tracking it. They know exactly where that plane took off from, where it's landing, its flight path, and who is on it. So, how did they not know this was a commercial passenger jet airline? And more importantly, who was on that plane?
More importantly, does he think my name is Parker or is his name Parker?
Hey there, Parker.
That's okay. I think that he's Parker.
He's got a nice sounding truck, I'll tell you that.
There's a couple of things here. Now, my understanding is, you have to understand, is it was shot down by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. This is another part of the military. Their job is to not so much defend the homeland, in a way. It's to defend the revolution. And sometimes the left hand doesn't speak to the right hand. Mm-hmm. And so my understanding is the people that you would expect to be in charge of that airspace were not. It was the Revolutionary Guard. And if you believe Iran at this point, why would you? But I'll just tell you what their point of view is. The guy who made – it was one person who made the decision, believed it was incoming missiles or and just made the decision and that he was completely wrong. We'll find out if there's truth to that. But we, again, there's little that we understand about. They have a military, and then they have this other military. Then inside of that other military, they have the Quds Force. Their job is to make sure that Hezbollah and all these other militias outside.
It's a complicated situation.
It's complicated, but the Revolutionary Guard is exactly what it. They guard the revolution. They guard the takeover. And so sometimes that overlaps with Homeland, but they have their own thing. And then they're saying that one person made the call from where they were in a second. We'll find out. Now, the thing about the conspiracy stuff, we'll find out who was on the plane. I think the reason you have people in Iran protesting about this is because mostly it was just average Iranians. Whether there was somebody on there they'd want to take out, I would doubt, but who knows? Who knows at this time? One thing I would say about what we can – in the tea leaves over there, when hundreds of people – started protesting their own government because of their reaction to the commercial jetliner being downed by their own government. Immediately, they were firing live weapons on these crowds when they were relatively small, according to the reports that I've read. That would indicate to me that the government is worried. They don't want this to build. Which means they know that this could turn into a Hong Kong situation or what happened in 2007, 2008, was it? 2000? I can't remember when they had their Green Revolution. And so that tells you a little bit. It's going to tell you more than Wolf Blitzer is. You have to use your own mind. You have to separate what you're seeing. And I think that the government right now doesn't want to turn the people against them. But the fact that they were so trigger happy with smaller crowds of protest says we just want to nip this in the bud, so to speak, not to put a Barney
Fife-ism. That was like Trump tweeted out yesterday, don't kill your own protesters.
Yeah, and then there's some not controversy, but there's some question. Does that actually help or hurt? Because the protest, you have to understand, you could be of two minds. You could not like America and still protest your own government. And you have to be careful if you start aligning the protest with America. A lot of people in the middle might say, I'm not going to go.
Maybe he should do reverse psychology.
Exactly, and be in
attack
favor
your own
of
people. Do it.
Yeah, I think that's. I think the way to go is reverse psychology. Yeah. Absolutely, you got to be playing chess while the rest of the world is
six moves ahead and all
is
that.
Playing checkers. I have more to say about the way things are presented to us from other countries because it's presented this way in this country as well. But we've done this story for a while. I'll get to it a little bit later on. But it's not just the way 24-hour news networks and your blogs always act as if opinion is monolithic from overseas. They do it amongst different groups right here at home. And real understanding. If you want to go, if you want to connect with the people of Iran, then connect on the things that you know are true. The human condition. Everybody does not agree about everything. Get 10 friends together and ask them where they want to go for dinner, and you'll know right there. If 10 people can't agree on what restaurant to attend, then the whole world is the same way. It makes it easier for you to
We did Thai last night. I don't want Thai again tonight.
And then somebody say, hey, I wasn't here last night. No. I did pizza. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
I'm in the mood for it.
You see, this is geopolitics. This is how it works. What's next?
All right. Queen Elizabeth is going to sit down with Prince Harry and discuss his...
Harry?
Yeah, Prince Harry.
Harry?
His and Meghan's historic announcement last week.
Hari Krishna? Prince Hari Krishna?
Prince Harry.
Prince Harry.
Yes, right.
Harry.
Come on, get American now. Harry.
If I say it like Harry, I sound like I'm American.
Well, it's time to let's go. Let's
Prince
move it on.
Harald. Let's go with Harald.
Harald the Prince.
Yes.
The former prince or the one. You know, it's funny.
He wants to be a former.
Remember, he's like the musician prince. For a while, he wouldn't call himself prince. I think that's what Harry now is.
Symbol. Just call him Symbol.
He's the
the artist, prince formerly known as Prince?
No, I think he would be the subject formerly known as Prince.
The ginger formerly known as Prince.
So they're going to meet with the Queen today.
He is. Yeah.
Oh, no, I heard that Meghan's going to be on the phone.
Yeah.
This is an interesting dynamic. It's kind of like the things that happen in my family, except it's on the world stage, which makes it kind of funny. I noticed it was under the radar. They didn't mention it that I saw, but CBS and Fox over the weekend always used Tom Sawyer at one point in their football coverage as their way of saying rest in peace to Neil Peart.
Their homage.
Drummer for Rush. It was, I'll talk about him later, but because that guy really had a real effect on my life, not just in music. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But for now, rest in peace, Neil Peart. Just a face on the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll. But what do you have next?
I have Dr. Oz, who thinks we should cancel breakfast in 2020. He says it's a ploy.
Breakfast. Now this is this audio here is him
it's
talking.
Brexit.
No, it's breakfast.
Oh,
breakfast. Brexit is
I thought
not
we were
being
talking
canceled.
About real news.
No, she's trying to point us. She thinks this is frivolous. This breakfast talk. No. But you know what? This is we did the research on him, and almost everybody that listens to us eats breakfast. So this story. Really does impact them. This is Dr. Oz, and he's caught by TMZ in some airport, so there's a lot of noise in the background, but I think you'll get it if it ever comes up.
I think for 2020, one of the first things I'm going to do is ban breakfast. I don't think we need to eat breakfast. Unfortunately, a lot of the dogma we were fed for decades came out of advertisements. It wasn't really based on the truth around our health. The smartest thing for us to do is cancel breakfast, have your first meal when you're actually hungry.
Now, he makes some sense there. Yeah. Have your first meal when you're actually hungry. Now, I have a set schedule every day.
I eat whenever I'm hungry. As a single dude running around all the time doing gigs and stuff.
Here's the main problem with breakfast, and I've said it before, and it's just an opportunity. There's, you know, breakfast, eat when you want to, when you feel like you need to. Our problem with breakfast is that we've turned it into dessert. just because you call it a pastry because it's 7 in the morning doesn't mean it ain't cake. You know, I suffer from we put syrup on top of pancakes. Is that really breakfast or is that dessert? That's really something that should come to you as dessert. I saw somebody years ago, a nutritionist, who said something interesting. Said like about cornflakes. If you want corn in the morning, make some corn. It makes sense. There we go. The spirit of radio. R.I.P. Neil Peart, which I'll get to in just a moment. I just heard Marcy talking about the Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
We're going to go more in detail on that in the 10 o'clock hour. But I'm glad that the movie I loved last year, was Jojo Rabbit, I'm glad it got recognized. But I cannot believe the kid who played Jojo is not up for Best Actor.
When I was home in England for Christmas, he was being interviewed along with the director, who plays the part of Adolf in the movie, too. And they were raving that he was being nominated, but I guess that was
probably a British thing.
And stuff like that.
Let me just say that you can't tell this kid is acting. He's 10 years old in the movie. He can't be more than 12 or 13 in real life. I mean, it's astonishing. The digital producer, Nicole, she went to see it because on my recommendation, and she was raving about it this morning. And we were talking about the kid's acting, and she brought up a scene where, he's a 10-year-old kid, and he's the whole concept is that it's the end of the war. And he's 10 years old, and his invisible friend is Hitler. And at one point, one of the times that Hitler offers him a cigarette, this kid just like waves it off. And she said, it's just amazing acting. Like, it doesn't even look, it's just like the way he just kind of,
He gets to the point where he's so fresh. I don't smoke.
I'm 10 years old. Stop offering me cigarettes. But
yeah,
I don't
know
how that
came.
It's
brilliant.
But thankfully, I mean, not thankfully, it doesn't really matter. These are awards. But Scarlett Johansson, after my wife and I when we were walking out of the theater, I said to my wife, well, they should just give every award to everybody involved in that movie.
I said
and just,
the same thing.
Just put an end to it. But we'll do more of that later. I wanted to talk about Neil Peart for just a moment because Neil Peart, the drummer for Rush, I think, do most people know that he wrote all the songs?
He wrote all the lyrics, yeah.
Yeah, he writes the lyrics.
That's
for.
Right.
So the ideas behind Rush came from Neil Peart. He was not the drummer on the first album, but from the second album on, he was the drummer. So Working Man, great song. I love that song, but that's not Neil Peart. That's not his song. But Neil Peart, first of all, if you ever saw Rush in concert, they worked this guy. Oh my goodness.
If
there's a 2-hour show, I mean, this guy was nonstop. There's no moment in any Rush song that I know of where he's back there going boom, tsh, boom, boom, tsh. Just there's always something very intricate going on, which some people were critical of, you know, and that's an argument that you can be have. But I mean, I don't know how this guy made it through a 2-hour show, and so his musicianship was amazing. The drummers revered him all over the world. He wrote the lyrics to unbelievable songs like Tom Sawyer, which is just kind of an ode to independence. And remember those Columbia House? Do you have those in England?
Yeah, we had them.
One penny and you get 12 albums.
And then you have to buy one CD a month for 17
Well, then you don't, and then it goes into collections.
Yeah, yeah. I found a way around that because we moved constantly. So every time we moved to a new place, they never followed me. I don't think I ever paid for – I've probably got all told 35 albums over a few years and maybe paid for 3 or 4.
New address, another 12 cheap CDs.
Yeah, so. Well, this was album time. So this is 1977, I think it was 77. And I bought Rush's 2112 as one of those 12. Got it for one penny for the 12 albums based on the album cover alone. That was all I knew. I'd never heard Rush before. And when I got it, not only was I turned on by the music, but I also was turned on by the fact that the first side was based on a novella, small novel, by this philosopher named Ayn Rand, who I had never heard of. Now, this is prescient. The story was about the story in 2112 is the kid finds an electric guitar and that upsets the elders because no one's supposed to know that technology is possible. Basically, both stories are the same. At the surface level, you've gone backward in time, but that's just a way for the people who are ruling you to keep you down. They don't want the technology in your hands, so they make you feel as if, like, hey, we're doing the best we can. Like, they have gaslit lamps as opposed to electricity when it's sometime way in the future. Also, the story was called Anthem. And in that story, the word I had been outlawed. You were not allowed to refer to yourself as I. This is interesting. You have to use plural pronouns such as we, our, they. Interesting. Not exactly the same as what's going on with us now, but interesting that she knew that if people want to rule your mind, they have to take the language away. And you don't go to jail for saying the word I, but these days we live in a society where people do lose everything because they said something and they used a trigger word or something that people didn't like. Now, I didn't turn into one of these Ayn Rand disciples. I don't believe every single thing. Like all philosophers, she ran into trouble with believing that every single thing under the sun had to be covered by her philosophy, and it gets weird after a while. But I did learn a lot about independence and seeing the world as an individual, not seeing the world through the newspaper I read or my friends' opinions, but putting it all together, having my own philosophy, and being able to see the world through that. So I wouldn't have found that if it weren't for Neil Peart. And plus all the great music. So it really, really affected me when I don't know what I mean when I say by that. It affects you. I never met Neil Peart, so he wasn't a close friend. But it affected me in the sense that that was a true blaze. Trailblazer. I wanted to say pathblazer, would not have been very good. Sounds like a car that was discontinued, a pathblazer.
Yeah, the pathblazer.
Yeah. Was a true trailblazer. A lot of people didn't, you know, in rock and roll, you don't have many of these songs that are about you. You know, he wrote Free Will and Tom Sawyer and Limelight and a lot of songs that were really about the individual. Yeah.
He was not one of those guys who, like, he didn't care about the limelight. Like, when we did meet and greets with Rush back in the day at 96
Rock, he would never be there, right?
It was Geddy and Alex. Yeah. He was never around.
Yeah, I think he was even just a little bit shy. I don't think he disliked
but
the
he
audience.
He did everything for the right reasons, I think. Yeah.
And to be missed. They stopped.
How old was he?
67.
67.
And he actually,
I feel like that's a little young.
Well, he got brain. Was it brain cancer?
He'd been battling for like two or 3 years.
Yeah.
He actually passed away last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't announce it till Friday.
Well, then that shows you that he had loving people around him who didn't feel they had to run. Nobody went and leaked it. They got there, did everything they needed to do before they let the public
know. And they are going to spend a lot of his drum kits and some of his really major drum kits are worth a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They're breaking those up, and they're going to donate them to schools across Canada who need instruments.
That's fantastic.
Amazing. I mean,
that's great work. Do we need to stop for anything, or can we go forward? All right, let's just go ahead and do this.
Outrage Corner.
That's outrageous. That's outrageous.
With English Nick.
By the way, in that book, Anthem, the kid, his name is Equality 7-2521. If that doesn't reflect where we're going, where you just put words like equality and equal on top of things and just make a horrible idea sound great. All right, go ahead. What do you
all
got?
Right.
What's outraging people?
The Democrats. They're alarmed. They're outraged at an impending all-white debate, Eric.
Well, we have the debate coming up, and I guess the only people who can make it now are just white people. And that's got to drive
Democrats. Pete, Lizzie, Bernie, and Biden.
Now, I'm not in favor. I'm not voting in this primary because I'm a libertarian. So I don't really worry about these things. But for the Democrats, you know, it should be an issue given how much they talk about how power needs to be evenly distributed. You know, if you think that you should be able to take my money and distribute that all over the place, then it would affect situations like this as well. If you are on the left, all they do is scream about the white power structure. And this really does kind of expose the idea that, you know, things percolate to the top. You know, hey, you get a Trump who just jumps in every once in a while on his side. You get a Buttigieg who, you know, just is a good candidate who gets out there and comes out of nowhere and gets noticed. But for the most part, the Bernie Sanders is there because of what he did last time. Joe Biden, I've said it before, it's worth noting again, Joe Biden became a senator when I was in third grade, and I'm 55 years old. So
he's had a bit of experience.
He's percolated to the top. Elizabeth Warren has been part of that structure for a long time, did some stuff on the financial front with the Obama administration. So while they normally, I would say, who cares? But it is something that they preach constantly. And it shows that as much as they talk about this stuff, they don't really have something that percolates up. Now, the other side of that is the last Democrat president was reelected and he was black. So, but he was more of a Buttigieg, I know this will drive people crazy, Trump-like candidacy, kind of from left field and came in by storm. No one really knew who he was. Some political people knew who he was. So he was more of that kind of thing, where you just come in from the outside and take over a party. But it's something that they need to work on. If they're going to lecture the rest of us about how they're so much more enlightened and better than we are, quite often you hear people from the left telling me that I should sit down and shut up as if I've done something wrong. I didn't choose the person I fell out of. No one chose the person that you fell out. Nobody chose the situation or circumstances that you were born into.
They didn't choose you either.
They didn't choose me. Believe me, they might have chosen differently had they had the opportunity. but as far as I know, I only have one life. So I'm not going to sit down for anybody. I certainly don't care what people did before I was born. I've upset many people by saying I don't care what happens after I'm dead. If it's like it was before I was born, I'm not going to be there to care. So this is it for me.
You already know this.
This is it for me. So I'm not going to sit down for anybody. But if they're going to keep lecturing about how people such as myself need to be quiet because of other people that I didn't know who were born before me, then it should at some point be reflected in their candidates and in their field. So there is a little something there. Only because it's called being hoisted upon your own petard. Doesn't mean it's a good, an important thing. But it shows their sort of hypocrisy about the way they actually run things.
Whatever candidate they end up with, it doesn't do them any harm to preach those certain things, does it?
No, it doesn't. You know, no, it's fine. It's like Joe Biden's going to get up there and say, hey, I want to become president so I can sit down and shut up. Okay. That sounds effective. Certainly,
people like me need to stop talking.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders, by the way, there's a not a conspiracy. Kevin McCarthy, who is the head Republican in the House, has a theory about why Nancy Pelosi has been holding on to these articles of impeachment. We could have been well into this impeachment trial, maybe even almost have it behind us at this point if she would have delivered that stuff right after they voted for impeachment. But she held on to them. Yeah, I know you held on to those, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, very
busy. So you remember Kevin McCarthy has a bit of a conspiracy theory because we have sitting senators, Sanders, Warren, who will have to come back to D.C. to deal with the Senate trial. And this is kind of a conspiracy theory, but a fun one. from Kevin McCarthy.
Remember what happened in the last nomination process, where the DNC chairman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, had to resign the night before the nomination convention started because they had found out they had cheated Senator Bernie Sanders. They are doing the exact same thing right now. The Iowa caucus is on February 3rd. Bernie Sanders is in first place. And what this does is this benefits Joe Biden.
I don't know if it was done purposely this way, but what he's talking about, the effect is real. Where do you want to be if you're running for president in the weeks leading up to the first caucus?
Yes.
You've been busting your hump for the last 2 years. Bernie's been doing this now for 5-6 years, and he's going to have to be in the Senate. He can't say this is important to impeach and remove this president and decide not to be at the trial. So whether or not it's true from motives, it's the effect is real. There is the song anthem. Right there.
Neil Peart.
You watch a lot of shows. You're one of these people, English Nick.
I get when I have time.
Well, you seem to have it because you know all the shows and all the movies and everything on Netflix.
Kids.
Autumn watches Bravo, is it? Is that what
That's
you're
right.
always watching? She likes all the reality shows on Bravo.
HBO dropped The Outsider last night with Jason Bateman, all shot in Atlanta.
And you like that one?
Oh, it's great, man.
I'm starting to watch more of these things. I'm watching The Witcher. On Netflix.
Yeah, I've heard some good things about
which
that.
Which is kind of, they ruined Doctor Who, and this kind of has a little bit of that sort of coolness to it. A lot of violence. I'm not really into that, but I can't not watch anything because everything is violent. But I'll tell you the thing that I'm, and I'm, this is not a commercial. I am not paid for anything.
This is us?
No.
Oh,
no.
Kidding.
I'm really not interested in millennial melodrama. No, that'd be the last thing in the world. Although I hear it's well done. I don't care. Now this show Servant is on Apple TV. M. Night Shyamalama.
I like his movies.
Shyamalama
Ding Dong.
Shyamalama.
Sometimes he gets a little too clever for himself. But this is written by somebody else, and he only directs a few episodes. But on episode 9 now, all I can say is compelling, and I still have no idea what's going on. And I saw an interview where he said he wants to do 60 episodes. So, well, you know, I thought, I jumped
it.
In. What happened was I was on vacation. I was at my brother-in-law's. He had Apple TV. I said, well, let me check this out while I'm here. And I got 2 or 3 episodes in and I was hooked. And then I said, well, I'll get the free trial at home. I'll watch them all and then end it. And I got the free trial and realized, oh no, this is, they drop one a week. And they're not done yet. And so I'm kind of stuck through this. So.
If he does 60 episodes, you'll be in it 10 years from now.
Yeah, I don't know how you could take this 60 episodes, but what are you watching? Below Deck? The Mediterranean?
Oh, yeah, I'm watching Below Deck. I'm watching Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No dramas? No.
I'm rewatching Girls.
Rewatching?
Yeah.
There's not enough new material out there. You want to go back and rewatch. What's her name? I forgot her name.
Lena Dunham.
Yeah, she was so controversial for such a time. Did you hear what Lena Dunham said? No, didn't care.
Well, she put Adam Driver on the map, so.
That's right. Yeah. If only for that, we got that horrible Kylo Ren out of it. Hour 2 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. A little bit different today. Tim Andrews has the day off. Jared Yamamoto is on jury duty, but English Nick joins us in the studio. Hey. Autumn Fisher is here. You just brought up something that I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Because I was just telling Alan Hunt that I think that the Chiefs versus the Packers would probably be a really good Super Bowl. At least, you know, you never know. But
The 100th Super Bowl?
And, well, no, it's not it's the 100th season. The Super Bowl itself is 50-something, I don't know. But is it 53 this time? So they've only had Super Bowls for a little over half the year.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize this. You brought up something that's true.
The first big game ever.
It wasn't called the Super Bowl yet, but the first AFL-NFL championship was between the Packers and the
Chiefs.
So it'd be a cool little way to tie things up in year 100.
Aaron Rodgers last night threw so many great balls at the end of that game.
How have you become such a fan of American sports?
Me?
You obviously didn't grow up like
I
did watching.
It's happened in the last 5 or 6 years.
I know, you're on everything. And he doesn't. Big soccer fan, obviously. I look at you today. You got your rugby ATL shirt on.
Yeah,
they had their
first big exhibition game against New Orleans, the New Orleans Goldies, yesterday. It's at the Life University campus. Yeah, the Goldies.
Okay.
The Goldies. That doesn't sound very intimidating.
Oh, they have their gold strip.
Well, you know what
it is?
These days, you can't offend anybody, so you just go with colors.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Pastels. Ooh, that scares the hell out of me.
But here's the deal, man. We have some serious international players from overseas, England, New Zealand, Australia. And yeah. And rugby, if you've never seen it.
They're coming to America.
It don't stop. It's nonstop action rugby.
Yeah, I can see being somewhat. I don't know that I have time for another sport. I need to be weaning some sports out, I think. If I had another sport, well, I mean, I'm looking at divorce court.
Yeah, get rid of some of the sports that let you down every year and maybe go see a winning team.
Well, that would be all.
That means the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. I can't let down the NFL lets me down constantly.
Uh-huh.
So you are.
You're in an abusive relationship with sports.
Well, yeah. Well, I think everybody is that isn't born in Boston. You're born in Boston. You know, sports. Why wouldn't everybody love sports? It's a fantastic time all the time. Let's do this.
More headlines for Monday, January 13th.
That's big day. A little bit. Doctrine voice.
Where's
lady.
Where's Jared? I don't see him in the studio.
You don't even have eyeballs in the studio, but I know that you miss him.
That's right. I said I don't see him.
You can't sense his... He is on jury duty. I've been told that he was chosen. He's in.
Oh, yeah. He's posted a picture where he's got the juror sticker on his chest.
Yeah, but he's posted
he's
a
like,
picture.
Blah,
see, I would get rid of him right there with the expression, the sad expression. Yeah. I mean, why would you be like that? I mean, you're already there, okay? The part that's a pain has already happened. It's your civic duty once you're there.
Here's the thing. You're making decisions that could affect a certain person's life forever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if he's on that kind of jury, we won't have him for 3 weeks. Or she. I know.
Thank
we want
you.
Look. Hey,
listen, women can be criminals, too.
I know. We got to have fairness and equality around here.
Thank you.
Yes, it is true that women can be horrible people and criminals as well. And I want to make sure
only men can do rob people.
No. Girls can do anything. Girls can do anything, and they can certainly rob and steal, like men.
When you think about it, when a female criminal shows up in a movie, they're usually way more mean than the male criminals.
Oh, that's because...
That's because
of the patriarchy, you know. That's what I understand it to be.
Yes.
Because a woman is already cruel and mean, right? And then if they became a criminal, they would be even more so.
Yes.
I like the fact that I'm not letting Autumn say anything. I'm just, as the man, I'm explaining it's the way it should be.
Really, she's trying to get a mean word in.
Yeah?
I mean, what I really think
Sorry, we're out of time.
When you say the patriarchy,
yeah, that's interesting, except that...
You have a place in the...
Okay, we'll get back to that opinion. The man has spoken, and we have news.
Yeah, Georgia's 2020 legislative session starts today in Atlanta.
Yes, and I like this is one of the many things I like about the great state of Georgia is that we have a session that happens, and it's going to be over when it's over, and that's it. You know, I've lived in states where the legislature is in session all the time, and your taxes go through the roof because the idle hands of the devil's workplace. You know, just they're constantly finding reasons to raise taxes. This time around, there's a lot of issues, but I think gambling might be a little bit closer.
Yeah.
Being a reality this time around.
Some money to be made.
Well, the Atlanta Motor Speedway, they want to turn that into a casino.
Like a complex.
A whole
complex.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of the way I think there's one in Delaware that's connected to the Speedway. It's been done in a couple of places.
So it would still be a
Vegas.
Speedway.
I've never been to Vegas, but I think the same thing in Vegas. So, yeah, you'd still have the race once a year, but, you know, that's kind of dead space.
Make the most of it.
They make money from EDM festivals and other festivals, but this would be a way to get some real revenue in there.
Non-stop,
and they'll turn it into a mini kind of Vegas, I guess. And they'll may have a lot of family stuff. And look, as a fan of NASCAR, they need to do something because that sport is dying. It is dying. So
dying.
They have to do something. And and there's a lot of heft there. There's a lot of, coming from that lobby. That's not a bunch of hippies or a bunch of gangsters who want to get gambling going. This is a lot of businessmen and women that have been around for a good long time in the state and could really bring in some real revenue. And they're pushing it as a way to push the money toward healthcare in rural areas. And that's usually the way to get gambling, you always have to they'd be like, well, it'll be a good thing. Yeah, it's sinful, but we'll get some good money. We'll do some good things with the sinful money. It's this whole sort of idea that you have to make up for the evil part of it, just like with the lottery and education. So I don't know. We'll see.
They're going to relook at the old Hollywood thing too, aren't they? How much how that's working out?
Well, there's a lot of stories out there saying that we don't really get as much revenue from that as they would lead you to believe.
What about all the jobs that are created?
Yeah, my sense is, the satellite jobs, meaning the
and
people,
places where people have to live while they're here.
Eat at restaurants.
Use the bathroom. All that.
A lot of porta potty business that we didn't have before on sets.
Toilet paper.
All those extras. They don't get to go to.
They need paper towels too.
Yeah, I mean, they don't get to go in their own personal porta potty like Matthew McConaughey or something. There's a lot. Those extras all have to be fed.
It's one of the Oscar categories this year. Best porta potty on set.
I think Georgia did a hell of a job on the porta potty front. I don't know. But I might be a homer. I might be a homer. So I don't know. My sense is that it probably does do more good for the state than bad. One thing that does kind of annoy me, and Tyler Perry certainly, because he's from the area, he's here to stay, and the stuff that he's doing.
His investment is long-term.
Yeah, it's real, and we're not really talking about that. We're talking about Hollywood basically dodging the taxes that they voted upon themselves because they're so progressive, and yet they'll come here to make their movies. And then, hey, let's go to Atlanta and make a movie about what boobs Southerners are. Okay, let's do that. Well, they're such boobs, it's actually cheaper to make the movie there. So we have that weird one thing that bothers me a little bit about it all is they don't seem to have – it's been years now that we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten to the point where almost any major blockbuster was made here. And yet still, that community does not seem to have embraced this community. And one small thing, like we have the Atlanta Film Festival every year. Why they've never premiered a big Hollywood blockbuster.
Already, it's still like indie stuff. And
usually, who are the famous actors or directors who give their time to the Atlanta Film Festival and show up and give talks? It's still not considered as big as Atlanta is, and all the filming that goes on here, and this is no knock against anybody involved with the film festival. They're great people, but it hasn't risen to the level of one of the big film festivals, and that's because nobody puts big films in. Films win that people really don't know about, and they're maybe good movies, and they get distribution, and people end up seeing them. But for all of the movies that are made here, the last big premiere was Gone with the Wind, where the actors came, the stars came, everybody. And it'd be better to do it now.
You're not talking about a remake. You're talking about the original.
The original. Yeah. And it'd be better to do it now, because then all the entire cast could sit together now, and unlike in 1939. So
they could not remake Gone with the Wind.
No. I'm saying that's I don't know what's behind it.
Talk about a rewrite.
But that sort of annoys me. That annoys me that for all that Georgia has meant to the making of big films, that we get no love from that community in terms of our own film festival. I'd like to see, why can't Matthew McConaughey or, Owen Wilson or some big directors show up and turn that into something big. Give it a little bit back.
You've planted the seed now. You've put that out there.
I don't know. I think that they feel like their friends will think that they agree with Governor Kemp on every political issue or something.
Yeah.
Probably something petty like that. All right. So what's next?
Next is talking of movies, the nominations. The Oscar noms came out this morning.
Ah, this is like
Osknoms?
The Osknoms are out.
The nominations,
I don't watch the Oscars. Do you watch? I don't watch any of these.
I watch some of it.
Yeah, you would. You watch everything.
No, I don't watch everything.
Do you ever sleep? You have four jobs.
I slept.
$20.
You're competing with this show on another radio station right now.
17 cows, 4 sheep, 6 cats. Yeah. I slept between the hours of 12:30 and 7:30.
But you watch these things. I don't find.
I even caught 10 minutes of Critics' Choice Awards last night. And that's a terrible award.
Why?
Show.
What was that on?
That was on PBS.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you've slid as an award show. You were down on PBS.
I was finding the football game last night, the end of the game, and I saw that, and I went to it for a minute when the football was on commercial.
Yeah, who won everything? Joker or something?
Well, the best picture went to Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in
Hollywood. That'll probably clean up and everything.
Brad Pitt won best supporting actor again, but he wasn't there.
Is it supposed to be one of these things that sort of pushes you toward what's going to happen in the Oscars?
Yeah, they say that the Golden Globes and all that, if they're winning there, they're going to win it.
Like preseason games.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Oscars, the big one where they actually compete. I don't know. I just can't watch.
Our favorite movie.
Who wants to watch a bunch of people get together? They're all millionaires. They slap each other on the back and tell each other how wonderful they are, and then tell me that the way that I voted was horrible to them or something.
Well, that's why the Ricky Gervais thing was so nice.
It was.
Told them to shut up.
Although what's interesting is you see some of the if you ever read blogs like Vox or Vulture or the very, very millennial.
You don't have time to read those things.
I don't have 3 hours for the Critics' Choice Awards. But I saw the headline, I think from Vox or something, and the way that Ricky Gervais's monologue is being received there is, I saw a headline that was something like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler to host Golden Globes next year so that they can do well where another man failed.
They can write the wrong.
Hold on. Another man failed. We just can't trust this with men anymore. So these are people who are completely out of the mainstream. You know, I think most people thought it was refreshing at the very least.
I know people from both sides of the aisle in my life, young and old, who love Ricky Gervais's monologue.
Chappelle and Gervais are providing a service. Whether you agree with them
reality.
Or you don't. Well, it's not even that. You don't have to agree with them. But you have to get out of this weird mindset that I don't debate my ideas, because to debate you is to normalize you, and I can't do that. If you've ever thought that, this is Eric Von Hessler with a public service announcement. You are wrong. You are 100% wrong. It is not possible that you are right. Well, we never really went through the best movie nominees.
Okay, you got once.
Hold on, I'll go through it. There could be 10. There are only 9, right? So I just want to go through these really fast and just give you my quick decision.
Okay,
all right. Most of these I have not seen, which makes it I think objective.
Absolutely.
So
I've seen 4 or 5.
All right, 1917. My gut feeling is it's probably a little overrated. It's probably a good movie that's being portrayed as a phenomenally great movie. But again, I have not seen it. War movie, I don't see it winning. Ford versus Ferrari, I hear it's a really good movie. Will it appeal to the Hollywood types?
Nah.
I don't think it makes it. Racing. Maybe Brad Pitt gets something. Or is he up? He's already up for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, right? Is it Brad Pitt?
No, he's not in.
No, I get these guys.
It's Matt Damon.
Always get these two.
And,
always. It's the Brad.
Christian Bale.
The Brad Pitt, Matt Damon thing. I always get those two confused. The Irishman. I always say it, The Irishman.
Irishman.
The Irishman. I love that movie. But Scorsese went after Marvel movies. This stuff is voted on by Hollywood people. Marvel movies have kept them in business over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I say no chance. Jojo Rabbit, my favorite movie of last year.
Mine too.
That's all you need to know. Not going to win.
No.
Joker, I liked it a little bit less than most people did. I don't think it's going to win movie of the year, but it's a good possibility. It's a possibility that one could win. I think Joaquin Phoenix is going to win a bunch of stuff. Little Women.
Yeah. Why? Because it's women?
No. Yeah, exactly.
No, because it's white women.
Oh,
get my back.
Oh, well,
it's not at the stature of.
Hold on, I'm
1917 and the Joker.
I am a woke misogynist. I'll have you know, it's because they're white women.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that.
Actually, I hear it's a really good movie.
No, great.
Marriage Story. I've heard nothing but great things about it.
Love
I have not seen it.
Love it.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood gets really good reviews.
Brilliant.
Haven't seen it. Parasite is winning a bunch of awards around the world. I haven't seen it. I don't give it much of a chance. So I'm going to say, I'm going to bring it down to within 3, even though I haven't seen any of them. And we'll see how I do. Joker, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, I would put 1917 above the Marriage Story.
1917's having a big moment now. And this is what happens is they get you at the end of the year and they try to cozy up to the Oscars. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna say it's going to be Joker, Marriage Story, or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Has Tarantino ever won a best movie?
Pulp Fiction, maybe?
I don't think so. If I had to put my money on one, it would be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Celebrating the great life, the great Neil Peart. Rest in peace.
Amazing.
Jared's on jury duty. He looks all glum about it on his whatever Instagram post.
Blah. I said,
you know,
blah.
If I was the person that he was judging, you're judging somebody. If I was somebody that he was going to pass the final judgment on, I don't think I'd be happy about the Instagram post.
Mr. Blah.
You know, I could ask something about people 30 years of age, which Jared is. Why does that have to be posted? Can't you do anything in your life
and just let it be
without letting everyone know that you're doing it? That really should be kind of a secret world, shouldn't it?
Yeah, but then how is anyone going to know that I'm doing it?
Yeah, I guess in reality, even if he says I'm being glum about it, he wants somebody to go, hey, man, you did good or something like that.
Yeah, you know what? People, as part of that, and also people want to think it's very important what they're doing. It's so important.
Just the fact that you're constantly updating people means my life is important. Everybody's wondering what I'm doing today. I've got to let them know.
But after a while, if you post so much of it, nothing is important anymore.
If everything's important, then nothing is important.
And,
you know, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
There's a Neil Peart. There's a Neil Peartism.
Peart.
Yeah, I think that the whole social media craze, it makes everyone a celebrity in their own mind. And so, well, here's an update. It's like I can understand when Metallica gives you an update. Hey, we pushed our tour back a week.
Yeah, they got a million fans who want to know about it.
People buy their products, want to know. seems a little self-serving at the very least to me. And he's so glum. Look, you're already there. You already parked your car. Now you're going in. I would be annoyed, like everyone, that I have to change my schedule around and go be on a jury. But once I was there and I'm walking in, I'd be like, okay, yeah. I haven't done this before. It's a new experience.
You know, I would think of it as a day off from work.
Well, not really, because you're working.
Yeah, but you're...
I would think of it as content.
Content, right. Here we
look
go.
At that.
It's content that you can talk about on the show.
That's
and then
right.
You do something crazy like shock jockery, like you say he's guilty when you know he was innocent. And then you got a real scandal on your hands. You come on the show the next morning. You tell everybody that an innocent man in jail. The ratings go through the roof.
No, here's what you do. You create some kind of disturbance in the court.
Yes.
Local news covers it, and oh, my Lord, shock jock goes off the rails at local court hearing.
Who cares
over
about
a shoplifting case?
The court of justice. We care about the court of radio. Do something to get covered, Jared Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Then you'll get a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this.
This is interesting.
Or...
No, thanks. Eric, you did it.
Thank you. I know. It only takes
Good
me five or six years. I'll get something down. Have you ever done this before as a presenter?
I have presented this. I think when Jared was, he was hungover after some EDM festival once. And I did it, yeah.
So they think a lot of people believe that this is a sham. I think they're probably right. First of all, it's very difficult to understand the whole concept of this segment.
You have to explain it every time.
You're going to throw stories at me.
Yes.
And you decide whether it's from Georgia.
No. You're confusing things. No,
uh-huh.
I will decide whether or not.
This is interesting.
Got you.
Or.
No, thanks.
But this is where the controversy starts and people are saying it's a sham. It turns out I talk about them no matter what. So. It's just a way.
It's
just a way.
It's nothing to do with surveys and polls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We talk about surveys. Yeah.
Ultimately, they're all just ways to do the same thing.
Let's try it.
But my understanding.
WTF, guys, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Crazy.
People like.
Some people are outraged at the fact this might be a sham.
Yeah. Same thing. Outrage corner. Just more ways just to talk about current events. That's all. All right. Give
Is
me my
listicle
first.
Listicle in this one?
Listicles are coming up later.
This headline actually starts with outrage.
Yeah?
Outrage after Jeopardy host rules Bethlehem not in Palestine.
This is interesting.
First of all, it's interesting that we already did outrage and a story that has outrage in the headline. Jared Yamamoto getting ready for jury duty.
Sent me these.
Which stories am I going to put in outrage?
He sent me these last
Besides, well, the one that starts with the word outrage is not going to make it into outrage corner. It's not a good fit. Secondly, okay, so the question was asked, where is Bethlehem, right?
Yeah.
And the person responded, Palestine. Now, according to the United Nations, it is Palestine. It's recognized as Palestine. But according to Israel, it's Israel. There's a couple things that could go on. Now, this has been an argument that's been going on forever, and I don't want to get into the deepness of that. We could open the phone lines and get all kinds of angry people telling us why and what from both sides. Let's just take it from the point of view of Jeopardy. Kind of stupid to ask the question if you weren't going to accept both answers. Sometimes on Jeopardy, they will accept two different answers. And this is the reason why, having nothing to do with politics. If you ask me, and I say Palestine, that's a very good indication that I know where it is. If I say Israel, that's a very good indication that I know where it is.
Yeah.
Truth is, the Jeopardy people themselves probably should avoid situations like this. And it's not just the Israeli-Palestinian thing. It's Kashmir, a bunch of other – there's a lot of land in the world that is disputed by two different countries or two different cultures or two different peoples. And that was a mistake by Jeopardy to really even ask the question. Or if you're going to ask the question when it's disputed – and you have, obviously, you know, we can all think what we want about the United Nations, but there's a genuine dispute if the United Nations is saying one thing. If it's disputed, then you should just not ask the question or accept both answers. Why are you on your phone while I'm talking
because
to you?
Because my computer is taking a, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't bring your A computer.
No, it's my A computer, but for some reason I'm getting that spinny thing that you get with a Mac, and it's like, so now I've got to get the headlines from my phone.
I like the spinny thing because it's got colors in it.
It does, but
this is interesting.
It doesn't help me with the thing. Yeah.
I like this. Oh, you saying that I should go,
this is interesting.
What's on this phone?
No, it is interesting that I actually find the spinning ball there.
Does
on
it hypnotize
Mac.
You?
I find it to be pleasant. It's got all the different colors of the
He's
rainbow
kind of,
in it.
Eric is kind of hypnotized by color.
I don't know if hypnotize is right, but I am soothed. I'm soothed by colors. I don't know where this started. I think it's why I'm so into Christmas when I was a kid, the lights and everything.
Sparkly things.
I am soothed by
Eric, over
colors.
Here, over here.
No, it's not that. I don't have a short attention span.
No, I know that.
I just, certain colors make my tummy relax. I don't. Is there a thing? Is anybody in the audience, are they an expert at that kind of thing? Lighting and colors will change my mood. I guess maybe I'm more sensitive than other people, but I think obviously it has that effect on everybody to a certain degree.
Black and blue are good for me. Those are my favorite colors.
Because you like to beat people up?
No!
Yes.
I like wearing black usually, and blue is the calming color to me.
Yeah. I'm putting together this new office, if I can ever figure out how to get a glass top for my glass desk.
Did you get the email about it?
Did I? From who? You or from the company?
Yeah, from the company.
This is interesting.
I don't know. I'll look and see, but I'm
All
looking
right.
at
desk the, gate continues.
At this... At this Hue lighting.
Desk 8-22.
You know what Hue lighting is?
Hue.
It's got little lights, and they're digital, and you can, supposedly they say you can get 16,000 combinations out of it.
Wow.
Out of three lights. And it's going to be about soothing. The colors that soothe.
You'll get that. You'll be playing with it for like 48 hours, and you'll set it to one setting, and I'll be it.
That's only happened once.
One of the 16,000.
My wife was out of town. All right. Next
All right.
shot.
Man survives weeks in remote Alaska wilderness after cabin burns down, and he writes SOS in the snow.
No thanks.
Okay.
Now, my survivalist buddy, Alan Hunt, the man who pilots the ship, I'm sure he was all over this story because he loves survival stories. This was a big BS story, to be honest with you.
A BSOS.
BS.
Story.
It was BSOS.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. Once I found out that the reason they found him was because people who knew him said, we haven't heard from him in a while, and he had a cabin.
Right.
They knew where the cabin was.
They
flew over
area.
The cabin. He'd put the SOS out there.
Yeah.
Look, it's cool that they found him. I don't know how close he is to his friends if it took 2.5-3 weeks for them to realize he wasn't around. But I mean, yeah, they didn't. My understanding, unless I'm wrong, my understanding is, it's like, you might want to check his cabin. So it was like they were flying over.
Yeah, searching. Seeing the SOS.
Hey, there's his cabin. Look, there's an SOS. Okay, he's there. No. Alan Hunt is asking if there was a bear or mountain lion involved. Yeah. See, if there's no bear, there's no mountain lion.
No danger.
Did he have to gnaw off his arm or anything? No.
Yeah, come on. Boring.
This is just kind of a filler story. And I say, no thanks. Are you going to go down? I want you to, there is one I wanted to, you want to get to it? Because I want to make sure.
The Batman?
I know you're now on your phone. So.
Yeah, but I'm following along.
All right.
Batman actor Burt Ward.
He played Robin.
Yeah. Burt Ward claims ABC gave him pills to shrink his super heroic penis.
This is interesting.
And that's no reflection on my sexuality.
Here's the thing, right? I know he's talking about size, but if it's superheroic, it goes out and does superheroic deeds.
Oh, well, we don't know. That book will be written after he's dead. But I read some of this.
My night with Burt Ward.
He revealed some pretty interesting thing. I guess he was showing too much. Now, number
well,
one,
it was tight-fitting clothing, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, they could have changed the outfit, I would think, before you tell a guy to take pills.
Give him a bigger cod piece.
So they were giving him pills, and he said he took them for a week or two or something like that. But then it occurred to him, well, this is working, and anything that's working is going to have some effect on my fertility. And it doesn't say in here exactly what it was they gave him. I don't even know if he knew what they gave him. But he was very smart, and he came up with his own solution, which was he used a cape more often to kind of cover himself. But in the story that you have, they have him with the cape wide open.
Wide open.
And
yeah.
There it is.
There's Burt's.
You know, have you ever seen – I'm not going to say which team because I'm not going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. But if you watch during the bowl season, after one of the big games, you know, they talk to the athletes on the field. And there was a guy to the left of the camera. And it was just like, wow, he's really excited about the win.
Yeah, they don't wear cups anymore.
Yeah, they don't. Well, I don't think they ever did in football, strangely enough.
Huh, maybe.
There was a guy who left one of the games yesterday. They had to talk about how he was hitting the family jewels. I guess that it happens rarely enough. You would think in football, man, we would definitely wear a cup.
There was a professional cricket player last week who was hit there.
Ouch.
He stayed in the game.
That's because he's a champion.
And then he got hit again in the midsection later on.
Let me tell you something. You hit me there, I'm done for the day.
That's it.
All right, submit the next headline to the jury.
Adele told a fan her massive weight loss was around 100 pounds.
This is interesting.
You lost 100 pounds. She was on. Yeah. You were on vacation
with Harry Styles and James Corden.
Wow, James Corden did not lose 100 pounds. I'm guessing. You know what I find interesting, Adele? Congratulations.
Well,
we're constantly told that beautiful at any size, but when people lose 100 pounds, they still feel better. They still feel as if they look better. So,
oh no, Mike. These big old girls.
Yes.
They're way too big.
Oh, now you're getting mean. Look, you're just because you've changed on the other side of the fence.
No, I'm
now.
Not mean. Yeah. I'm just being honest.
She's like an ex-smoker.
Yeah, suddenly smokers are terrible, filthy people. Is that what you're saying?
Well, listen, we'll talk about smoking. We'll talk about eating. Mm-hmm. And it's eating is something we've got to do all the time, every day. Mm. But smoking is, like, not necessary for, like, life, you know what I mean? Mm. So, like, I could have a pizza, frozen pizza in the oven, have a pint. But instead, you know what I do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it.
You just don't have
it. It's that easy. It's not hard.
Yeah, well, 100
it's
pounds.
It's like, don't eat, you know what I mean?
That's a lot. You know, I'm the same way. I've lost 30 pounds myself, and I've done
congratulations.
Well, thank you. You want to do a duet or something together? The formerly big people who are now... Yeah. One time. Two times. One time. That's our joint.
So it's like
Eric Von Hessler and Adele.
It's good. We get a studio.
Yeah.
I think Nick's got some connections in Atlanta.
Yeah, I can plug you in, yeah.
But we won't have a pizza and a pint. That's behind us.
A little bit.
Uh-oh. Look out. You start with a little bit, Adele, the next thing you know.
She's like,
but, like, I've lost this much.
This morning.
And, like, maybe I could just have, like, a little bit.
That's
pizza,
where it
a bit
starts.
Of a point,
I'll tell you something. This morning.
On a Friday. Listen, I'm not saying it, like, 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, am I? I'm saying, like, on a Friday, 7 p.m., throw a frozen pizza in the oven, have a bit of
starts.
A pint, have a bit of a smoke, you know? Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
I don't know that you've done the things in lifestyle to keep this weight off. But I'm happy for you.
I guess only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Sounds like a great name for a song, Adele.
Time will tell.
One time. I saw the great Fred Blankenship in the newsroom this morning, and there were donuts, and he was standing over them, and I said, don't do it.
Don't eat it, right? Am I right?
Said, do not eat it. And he listened to me, and he told me later. I did. And I said, Fred Blankenship, you're a better man for it. If you want to lose weight, right, Adele?
Yeah.
Stop eating.
Just, you know, keep it simple, stupid. Don't eat it. But maybe sometimes eat it.
No. Hour 3 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. Autumn's in Baltimore, but she doesn't care about football. But you're going to meet a lot of people today if you're out and about. They're going to be very, very upset. Because
did a football team lose?
Hey, they were having a great season.
They
won 12 in a row.
With a great quarterback.
And everybody thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl. There wasn't anybody on earth, except for my 21-year-old, who never stopped telling me about it after it was over, who thought the Tennessee Titans were going to go to Baltimore.
Why was he
so
strong about it?
I don't know. He just said this is a team that can do it. Yeah. And then they went up there and just beat them up.
Wait.
Just beat them up, you know? And nobody cares that you don't care, Autumn.
Well, you brought it up.
No, I just wanted as a way to say you're in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And you may run into these people today. They'll be a little upset. And I don't know how I feel about it because I really like Lamar Jackson and what he's doing. And so my problem is not with him, but I just feel like that team got really arrogant really quick.
Uh-huh.
And so I was really kind of rooting for the Titans. It just didn't take long for that team to kind of snap into place about 3 weeks into the season. Yes. You realize what was happening, and they just started. But then again, I don't like this thing in the NFL where I've been watching the NFL since 1970. And I don't like, even with the teams that I root for, the Falcons and the Bills, I don't like this constant celebrating that goes on. And I don't like, this is something I don't
like
under.
Like every touchdown.
No, every touchdown's fine. There's nothing wrong with celebrating touchdowns, although I think nothing beats the good old-fashioned spike. I think that's the best touchdown celebration there is. But no, it's a weird thing in sports now where the athletes are actually better friends now than they ever have been before. They all realize that they're in a club and they're lucky to be there, kind of.
You mean opposing team members?
Opposing team members. Yeah. The athletes outside of when they're playing each other, there's actually more camaraderie in all of the major sports now, but in football as well. But even though that's true, it seems like while the game is going on, the individual players really enjoy taunting and humiliating one another. And it's really kind of stupid. Like, you get a sack on this play, and the guy humiliates and jumps around, and, you know, it's who cares? It's in the middle of the second quarter. Not that who cares, you did your job.
But that was always the thing, right? You smack talk the other player when you've beaten down or whatever?
Usually, back in the old days, you didn't stand over somebody. Yeah. You didn't have a dance every time you had a good play or have some kind of signature move. And I don't. It's not so much the fun thing. I'm not a no fun guy. It's the whole thing of sportsmanship.
Yeah.
The idea of knowing how to lose is every bit as important as knowing how to win. Because if you do sports for a good long time, you're going to deal with both. And what I'm saying is, it happens all the time. We're on one play. Say it's second and 10, and then they sack the quarterback. And the linebackers, nobody messes with me, and does a dance, and blah, blah, blah. So the next play, it's third and 14 or something. And they go for 40 yards and hit a touchdown. And then the other team is, even without a touchdown, even they just get 35 yards, they get the first down, then that guy's dancing and humiliating. It just goes back and forth. I don't relate to the idea that you want to humiliate other players on the field, even amongst fans. I was never one of these people who would go after the other fan base. This is the way I see it. I'm not rooting for your team to lose. I'm rooting for my team to win. So if my team wins, I'm just happy. I'm just happy. There's a part of me that understands, hey, you're going through that, and that's terrible.
There,
we
yeah.
all do it.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's been there, like I said earlier, unless you're born in Boston. The rest of us humans have had to deal with this.
You know, I was talking about the rugby game yesterday.
Rugby ATL.
And that game is fluid. There's hardly any stopping, right?
Yeah. It's like soccer.
So American football lends itself to this behavior because they have the
every
time
game
to do
stops,
it.
Every game stops, right.
I
suppose. But there used to be a thing about sportsmanship, which I guess I just sound like I'm 197 years old.
Well, you're close.
By bringing it up. I'm partial way there. But it is something to me. I don't know. It matters. It matters to me that there should be some sort of gentlemanly kind of way of sportsmanship.
That was a very nice sack. Let's make the next play. Absolutely.
But the idea, somebody
in
one of the games, I can't remember which one, actually got a 15-yard penalty because they
– celebrating?
It wasn't the celebrating so much. It was very difficult to get into the end zone. And the guy was on him, And then after he got in the end zone, the runner took the ball and gently placed it like, here's the ball. Do you want it? Here you go. It's just like, all right, your job is to get in. His job is to stop you. You beat him on that play. We understand how this goes. I don't get the taunting. And I wonder, I wonder, and again, I sound like I'm 197 years old, but how does that affect the 8-year-olds that are watching this that are just starting at the Pop Warner level? I don't know, because I don't have kids who are 8 years old now, so I'm not going and watching those games, and I'm not a creep. Hey, I just show up, watch. I'm a big fan of the sport. If you don't know anybody on the field, you probably don't belong at an 8-year-old football game. So I don't know, but I'd be interested. It wouldn't surprise me to find out that it's starting there now, because, you know, when you're 8 or 9 or 10 or 11, you're looking at the professionals. They teach you how it's done.
They're your superheroes.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I feel like there's a certain responsibility there. But, you know, who am I to talk? You know, I was on a show that did homeless karaoke for...
And worse.
12, 13 years. So, yeah. You don't have to bring it all up on them.
I didn't.
You don't have to bring up the. As soon as you said even worse, I knew exactly what you were talking about. All right. Have we started yet or no?
I don't believe we
did. Let's do this.
Even more headlines for Monday, January 13th.
All right.
All right. Breaking news, Eric.
Yes.
Cory Booker is pulled out of the Democratic race.
He's not. Now, did he quit, or did they say we're going to suspend the campaign?
He quit.
He may have, if you look closer, he may have suspended the campaign. There's some kind of thing that you can do with your funds if you suspend as opposed
put to... Put them on the back burner or something?
It's something. You can use it to pay off old catering debts and stuff. I don't know. It's a legalese kind of thing. Cory Booker has not been in this race for the last 6 months. I'm glad Cory Booker just figured it out. You know, Cory Booker is one of these guys.
He's ending his campaign.
Yeah, but I think...
Disappointing poll numbers.
Cory Booker is one of these people. I probably don't agree with him on much politically. But what I've noticed is he seems more likable when he's not running for things. I've seen him in
like when he's not pushing.
Yeah, when he's not pushing stuff, he actually seems like a pretty interesting guy who maybe has people's best interest at heart. I end up not agreeing with his solutions to things, but when he's running for stuff, and the whole Spartacus moment thing during the Kavanaugh hearing, and just his performances and the debates, he's just really self-righteous and not self-aware. Like, doesn't know that he looks like a blowhard when he thinks he's being earnest, you know, and showing. But he looks very opportunist. But at other times, I've seen him in more unguarded situations where he comes across actually as someone that you would like. And he's got to figure that out in the future. The likable part is very, very important. And people who hate Trump don't understand his likability, but he has very high relatability and likability, mostly because he displays a sense of humor, which is something that most politicians don't have. Or up until now, if you did have kind of a biting sort of sense of humor, all the campaign consultants tell you to suffocate that and don't show it. We had two Republican nominees who are crushed, who are known for a very good sense of humor, Bob Dole and John McCain, and both did everything they could to hide it because sometimes it was acerbic. Sometimes it was a little bit nasty. But you saw what Donald Trump did with it. He didn't hide it at all. And he could certainly be acerbic and nasty.
Still doesn't
hide it to this day. And people who can't stand him can't even imagine a reason why somebody would find him likable. But the reason people do is because there's a guy at the end of every bar who's spouting off the same way, and every once in a while I'll buy you a drink. If Donald Trump was at the end of the
he'd buy everybody drinks.
He'd buy everybody a drink.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He could. I don't know if he would. He could certainly afford to. So that's what Cory Booker is, a young guy. And he can run again, but that's the thing. He needs to just be yourself. No matter what that is, you just have to be a better version of yourself. As long as I've been in radio, I've always had this saying in my head that the show is real life with all the boring parts taken out. Mm-hmm. You can't be so real that you annoy people, but you got to find those parts of your personality that are likable and push those. And that's every bit as important as having a plan for everything or a solution for everything, which right there gets you in trouble because no one on earth has a solution for everything. This is why Elizabeth Warren is dropping in the polls. People are just starting. Yeah. You're starting to realize that if you contend that you have a plan for everything, you actually have a plan for nothing. Because
I have a plan.
You have a plan, but the Wall Street Journal, somewhere around Christmas, the Wall Street Journal had all of her plans. It's like 60 plans. I mean, it would cost like $100 trillion if you're going to do everything. Yeah. So if
Don't worry.
Yeah, you got. Well, you
there's a plan for that.
There's a plan for that as well.
Right.
You got a plan for a plan for a plan.
Costs too much money. No problem. I'll plan
for
some way around it.
Yeah. And we're already $22 trillion in debt. So I think people have realized that if you have a plan for everything, you really have a plan for nothing, because you got to get all this stuff through Congress. And people aren't just going to keep continuing raising taxes and all this stuff to do everything for everybody. So that's for Cory Booker. I think that if he's smart, he will assess this, because I think he does have aspects of his personality that are likable.
He has what it takes, yeah.
I don't know if he knows what it takes, because, I mean, and also, what was he, the mayor of Trenton, New Jersey or something? I don't know. Before he got in the Senate for a minute and a half.
Tune time.
So, you know, he guys like that, I think Kamala Harris, too, that, you know, Obama got to the Senate, had a cup of coffee, and became president for 8 years. And I think a lot of people are like, hey, I got to get in the Senate so I can immediately run for president. But, you know, you're not Obama. It's, you know, that was a candidacy that only comes along once every 25, 30 years on either side. By the way, Trump did the same thing on the Republican side. I know leftists are like, what? No. Or maybe even Trumpers don't like the comparison. Same thing. Just came in at a left field and took over.
Had a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Created an energy. An energy. No, I mean in the campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
Created an energy that became unstoppable. That's right. It's all Rush today.
Yep.
In memory and in honor of the passing of the great Neil Peart. What
Amazing.
Else you got for me?
All right, so it's the big Tiger versus Tiger game tonight. LSU,
right.
Clemson in New Orleans.
I don't know if I'm going to stay. I think it's going to be a great game. I can't stand. When does it start? 10?
8. Kick off at 8.
May as well be 10 for you.
I mean, it's just good. And then I'll be tired tomorrow. I don't know. Jared, does he get Jerry? What if he's got one of these cases that goes on for 3 weeks? Who knows? So I don't know. I'll have to. I think I'll probably. What I usually do is I watch the first half.
Yeah.
And if it looks like it's going to be something really good, I go ahead and stick around. But I made a mistake last night. I thought that Packers-Seahawks thing, I was like, I'm good at the halftime. I know it was going to win.
Great ending.
I was right that the Packers won, but I read this morning that it was quite exciting. So I missed that.
So
I'll just have to drink two Red Bulls.
What about if you wanted to go to Clemson and actually have a drink?
On Clemson out in the streets?
Yeah, they're gonna relax their open container laws tonight.
Well, let's all go to Clemson. It's only like a 2.5-3 hour
walk around and drink
ride from here. So they allow you to. They're gonna have a big street party, basically.
Yeah, that's what's going
on. And so until midnight, you get to drink like crazy.
That's right.
I honestly
close the street stand at 5 o'clock.
Two really good teams, and with good coaches, and I just don't know. I think that. If I had to put money on it, I'd put it on LSU. Just
number one against number three, right? That's the season.
Yeah, but Clemson's the champions from last year. Yeah. And, you know, they've got a great team. And Trevor Lawrence is unbelievable.
Championship games are different than every other game. There's so much on the line that it could go anyway.
Yeah, I just don't. Sometimes you end up with one where you go, I'm pretty sure I know. This one, I honestly, I don't know. I suspect it'll be LSU, but Clemson could beat the hell out of them. I just don't know. They're two really good teams and two great quarterbacks. Autumn, what do you think? Who are you calling for?
Oh, yeah. I think, one of them is going to do really well.
Yeah.
And the other one is going to try, and they're really going to put their all. And you think that they're going to have a chance, but then, you know, they're just not.
No one knows sports like Autumn. What I want you to do is I want you to look up the quarterback for LSU. His name is Burrows. And the quarterback for Clemson, his name is Trevor Lawrence. Now, they have two very different looks. I would say that, is it Joe Burrows or Jalen? For some reason, I always want to say James.
Joseph.
Joe Burrows has kind of a classic sort of good-looking guy on campus look. Trevor Lawrence could be like a French film star. He's got a different kind of look with the long hair.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. So when we come back, I want you to choose just based on who you'd rather date.
Okay.
All right. As promised, we are going to have Autumn Fisher, who does not know a thing because she doesn't give a damn.
She pretends.
Not because she's a woman. Stop that.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
I saw it in your eyes, English Nick.
I could feel it.
Yeah, I know you could. And I was there to protect. Oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to be there to protect
you.
It's
not the first thing you've seen in my eyes.
Okay, I'm sorry, but can I care? Am I allowed to care?
It depends.
All right.
I'll decide later.
All right. So not because she's a woman, but because she simply doesn't give a damn about football.
Uh-huh.
Might have something to do with her. No. I regressed back into 2019 and forgot for
a moment. Wake back up.
It is 2020. And so by your own, as an empowered woman,
yes.
You've decided.
It is my choice not enjoy sports.
To not give a damn. So. Yeah. And I don't know who's going to win this game because I think they're two very good teams. And I could see either winning. I could see a million different outcomes. Very close. One running over the other. I could see it in a lot of ways. So I'm going to have Autumn, who, although she's not into sports, does like men that she finds good looking.
Oh.
And is that not true? You are?
Yes, I think I do enjoy men who are good looking.
In your own mind, because it's subjective. But every time I bring up my friend from Channel 2, Fred Blankenship. She gets very, very, very...
hot under the collar.
She's, way down below
perspires
the collar.
Perspires even.
Mm.
Something. So I know that she...
My voice gets a little deeper.
She responds.
Autumn, you okay? Oh, it's Fred. Fred's
breathier. In the room.
To men that she finds... So this is how I'm going to have you choose the game.
Tell me how tall he is again.
Something. I think he's 9'4".
She would be putty in Fred Blankenship's hand if that were a thing.
Yes, well, I think a little
putty.
Bit... Yeah, more putty
he
than...
Could mold me.
All right, much better. Okay, now you're freaking me out. Yes. Getting a little creeped out here. Okay, so the point being, you do like men.
I do.
And so I want you to
choose men like
this
her.
Game. That's, well, we don't have to get into that. That's a long history, and you know what? She's got children now. So these two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Each good looking in their own way. This is Joe Burrows, I would say good looking guy on campus kind of way. Maybe even slight bit of Hollywood in there. Trevor Lawrence, I would say French movie star. Kind of. You could see him in a black and white film where he's an inspector.
Hang on, you said Hollywood. Do you mean Brad Pitt or Joaquin Phoenix?
Joe Burrows?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, young. No, I don't even mean sex appeal, but young.
Steve McQueen.
No, you're going really into the sex appeal. Young Tom Hanks, just somebody who's likable and good-looking. All right, now out of the two, so this is called the Autumn Face Picks. She's going to pick the winner of the game based on the face of the two quarterbacks. Autumn, taking a look at these guys online, what do you see and who do you predict will win the game?
Well, I would like to say, before I just give you my straight-up, just based on looks thoughts.
Yes.
I want to know where this game is being... They're playing each other?
They're playing... Yes. Yeah, that's why it's the championship. This is for the championship of all of college football.
No, they're actually playing...
It will be played at the New Orleans...
Superdome,
which gives... which means for LSU...
40-minute drive.
Yeah, for...
Now, this is...
Hold on, so I'm still... got to put a few things together here.
All
right. LSU, one of the teams, plays in Baton Rouge right up the road, so it's really going to be kind of a home game. They say 80% of the crowd... Will be purple. LSU fans as opposed to... And the Clemson fans will stand out if they're a minority because they'll be all decked out in orange.
Now, I have some thoughts.
Yes.
Joe is from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
He played in Nebraska, or maybe like his dad was a coach in Nebraska or something.
Yeah, he's got quite the football pedigree.
And
Trevor
is from Georgia.
Yes, he is. Is he from Cartersville? Yes, he is.
Now,
yes.
I think because of where the game is going to be played, Trevor is going to be more used to the climate in this area.
Yes.
In this region of the country.
No, let her go. Yes.
I think that he is going to perform at a better level than someone who's been in Ohio.
Can I ask you a question on this point? Was there something about the word Superdome that you didn't quite put into your...
I didn't factor that in.
The word dome, meaning there will be a roof.
Okay, but the air is the same.
No,
okay.
It's not.
Indoor climate.
It's going to be 72 degrees with no wind.
Yeah. But what about... What about in Nebraska?
Yeah.
Right? Is the air thinner?
Not really. A little bit. Maybe there's a little higher elevation.
Because maybe it's a little higher elevation.
Hold on. So can I stop you for 1 second? He's been playing at LSU now for this entire season.
All right.
He's used to that.
Right? Yeah.
LSU is in Louisiana?
LSU is Louisiana State University. Yes.
Okay. Now that changed
Look,
my
there's
mind.
There's a reason I wanted you to pick based on faces.
All right. I think...
First of all,
I think based on just looks.
First of all, I want to know you, if you could choose a date of what's some kind of show just based on faces, which one would you want to date?
Trevor.
Oh, see, she likes the European sort of look.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, no, I don't want this. Listen, Joe, way to go. You're doing great. Look at you go. Your dad was a coach.
Mr.
I looked
Burroughs.
You up on Wikipedia. Okay? I know very little about you, except your face is not... It's like white bread dipped in water.
Okay, but it's not disgusting or anything, right?
No, it's not. But it's like, hey, do you want a delicious, medium rare steak?
Right.
Or would you like, a nice apple with peanut butter?
You said, I don't know which one is which, but the question...
I want the steak.
I feel like you're saying that Joe Burrows is a guy that if you met him and found him fascinating and had a great personality, the face wouldn't make you say no. It's just not going to bring you in.
He looks like the kind of person who I'm not going to enjoy talking to. Well, he's going to be very polite, talk about some weather, where's your mom? Yeah. Did you break your arm when you were three? Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Trevor is gonna pull you in close.
Yeah.
He's gonna touch you slowly.
Yes. Yes.
He's not just gonna put his hand on your shoulder. He's gonna put it on your shoulder and then drag it down real.
And also, I don't want to throw this in, but big hands, big nose, big feet.
Mm. You know what he'll do too? He'll look at me. He'll stare deep into my eyes. He's gonna take the back of his knuckles.
Yeah.
He's gonna rub it gently down my cheek.
Really?
Oh yes.
So on that basis,
you are saying
that Clemson, the current national champions, you're saying go back to back. And did you know that if this Trevor Lawrence goes back to back, he will be, I think, the first quarterback to go. Was he freshman last year? Freshman, and then I think he'll be the first to go back to back in whatever he was to what he is now. Given his years in college.
Whatever. Trevor is strong.
Trevor's 6 foot six and 220 pounds.
Oh, 6 foot six.
Let me tell you, when he's not wearing
his... Hold on, wait. Trevor is strong. But you know what? When you're in his arms, you feel safe. I don't feel threatened by his strength.
No.
He's going to treat me gently, slowly, gently touching.
He's going to rock you gently, rock you slowly. But you know what?
Take it easy. Don't let go.
I just want to say that I think if I can step in
loosely.
For Joe Burrows, I think he's going to make sure that you're both set up with really good 401ks and a good retirement.
Boring!
All right. Well,
honey,
based
I did
on
the
that,
dishes. Honey, I took out the trash.
I've decided
great.
That thanks, this Joe. Means it's the show. The show's prediction is that Clemson will win based on Autumn's face pick.
Are you comfortable, honey? Yes, I'm fine, Joe. God, wait for me. I'm trying to watch Housewives.
Stop.
Can I watch with you? Who's that? I don't have time to explain this to you, Joe.
Stop being so good and nice.
Exactly.
I got to get myself checked for kidney stones over the weekend.
Some pain?
Oh, boy. Maybe I passed one. I don't know. But from Saturday night, like midnight, Saturday, so it's all Sunday, really. It was midnight night overnight going into Sunday.
Hmm.
I mean, I could not. Oh, the pain was just so bad. And it was where this could be a kidney stone.
In your stomach area?
No, it's kind of like on the side. And then, but then it also feels like you might just have weird gas. You know, it feels like if I could just go to the bathroom, and just have the greatest one ever, all this would go away. And so in the morning, I called my brother-in-law. He's a doctor. And he said, those symptoms sound like possibly a kidney stone, but there's not a whole lot. I didn't want to go to the emergency room and end up with a $5,000 bill for gas or something. You know, because I didn't want to. And I knew if it was a kidney stone, it's painful, but it's got to go through, unless it gets so jammed in there, you got to get something done.
You crush them up sometimes.
But so this is the weird thing. About 10 o'clock in the morning, I took some ibuprofen, but it can't just be for that reason, because it was painful. About 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, it just stopped. And so after
it's
I went
resting.
To the restroom once. Well, I don't know. Hopefully. I don't know. But I got to get it checked.
Don't wake it up.
I don't want to wake it up. But I would tell you, man, it was so painful at one point that I didn't cry, but I was as close to a grown man crying as a grown man can be.
What sound were you making?
I was
Using the force?
Had my hands on my forehead, just digging in. For some reason, that helped. Mm-hmm. And I was swearing a lot.
Yeah, if you could focus on some other part of the body apart from where the pain is, sometimes that helps.
At one point, I realized that if somebody was outside the door of the bathroom, they would have thought that I was
having a good one.
I was being sexually provocative. The things that I was saying could have been taken another way. It could have been seen as a request rather than me.
Oh, please.
Yeah, it's like the signs that Autumn was making when she was thinking about the Clemson quarterback.
Yeah, well, yeah. Except a little bit. So,
yeah,
you can go that direction, right?
Oh, no.
Then another thing I have to deal with in my life is I like the way I look in these darker jeans. And so yeah. I went ahead and got six pair. And I really like
six
them.
Six pair at once?
Well, I'm not going to wear them all at the same time, but I just want to be able to go through a week and not have to worry about it.
I got you.
I have the massive butt sweats anyway. And I don't know if it's just because it's a darker kind of, maybe it's heavier, but the butt sweats are even worse. But here's the upside. No one can see. They're dark. It's dark jeans. I mean, I get the sweats down the back of my legs.
Sure.
And
you should get Botox back there.
I don't want Botox. Why?
Because that way it'll like block the sweat glands.
Do you think that the back of my legs are especially wrinkly? Is that what you're saying?
I think you're going through male menopause, personally. What's going on?
I don't know what it is, but it's just, you know, it's just one of these things where I just
sweaty legs.
Just have sweaty legs.
Oh, sweaty legs.
You know, I do the laps and I'm doing the steps.
Eric Von Sweaty Legs.
Yes. Von Sweaty Legs is back. And I do these steps, you know, try to get 10,000 a day in, and that doesn't help. I mean, it helps overall. It doesn't help, but it reinforces
you
the
do
butt
sweat
sweats.
In different places as you get older. I find that.
Autumn has always sweated in the middle of her back, which I don't even think there's a gland there.
Yeah, I sweat back there.
It's weird.
If I don't, like in the summertime, I'm not dripping down my forehead. It's rolling down my back.
How sexy. Hey, Trevor Lawrence gets to hear about that and it's going to be over.
You know what? He understands that a body is
Yeah,
just
he
a
does.
Body.
He understands the physical part of things because he's an athlete. So
you know what Joe says? He's like, that's weird.
You say Joe Burrows wouldn't be as interested.
It's back, like, whoa, that's weird.
Adele would like it too. Rolling in the deep of Autumn's back sweat.
Rolling in the sweat.
All right, you got a story for me?
Oh, I do. Yeah, story. So I forgot
it's
about
not
that.
All about my kidney stones and butt sweats.
An Amazon package.
That's the name of the show.
Name of today's show. Kidney stones and butt sweats.
An Amazon package.
They were actually a great folk duo in the late 60s.
But yep.
They didn't last long.
No, not at all.
One guy was always sick, and the other guy drowned in his own leg sweat.
An Amazon package had dirty diapers in it.
There's a VH1 thing over. That's behind the music. Uh-huh. So are you trying to do a story?
I am.
Okay, well, just check it out.
There's an Amazon package. It had dirty diapers in it when it was delivered.
Oh, wow, so, this is the story.
So there was, I guess it was returned, and then it was remailed out.
Yeah, I never heard this.
Checked.
I guess maybe
somebody sent the dirty diapers back.
I think I need to check my privilege here. I didn't know that Amazon, being a Prime member myself, I didn't realize that they have a thing called Amazon Warehouse, and they sell you returned items.
Yes.
This was bought from, so somebody returned to Amazon the diapers, and then Amazon sold those to these people, and they got them, and there was fecal matter in there. Yep. My favorite line in the story says that the family has not tested the matter on the diapers, but they believe it's consistent with fecal matter. It could be somebody joking around, smear chocolate on it or something.
Yeah.
But now they're all freaked out because the kids was a preemie and autoimmune problems and things, and they're worried about this. But I don't know if that's true or if they're just building a case to make a bunch of money off of Amazon. But Amazon delivers a lot of stuff in a day.
It's millions.
Now, they need to take care of this and make these people whole however they can.
Free diapers for the rest of the baby's life.
If you deliver that many things that often, sooner or later, a dirty diaper is going to show up at somebody's store.
It's like it's the chimpanzees and typewriters.
Yeah, so they'll write out all of Shakespeare's works.
Shakespeare.
If you
that's
leave
right.
them
it's
alone,
happen eventually.
If you leave them alone for infinity, that's what will happen.
You know what? I'm not going to order from Amazon anymore.
Diapers?
No, dark colored jeans because I might get your sweaty return ones.
I don't. You know what? That's what I should do. I should return my butt sweat jeans.
These jeans don't breathe, Amazon.
And allow somebody else to wear my butt sweat around. Maybe a fan of the show. Might bid for charity to have Eric's Butt Sweat Jeans. And go to a good cause.
We'll give them away at next year's Christmas special.
You know what that music tells me? That music tells me that we're done on the radio side. Mm. But even without Tim Andrews and without Jared Yamamoto, we're going to spin this thing over and do the Podcast 30. You can join us. Go to the WSB Radio Facebook page or the Von Hessler Doctrine Facebook page. Click on the red box. Voila! There we are, the Podcast 30. Otherwise, we will return tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. You are all invited to join us. But until then, continue on the journey. Don't piss off the genie. All right, the Podcast 30 begins right here and right now. If you were looking for the Podcast 30, you found it. You don't need to go away. I'm Eric Von Hessler. I decided to stick around. English Nick is here.
I decided to move because I'm not blocking the camera with my back.
You care.
Yeah.
You care about people. Tim Andrews off for the day. Jared Yamamoto has jury duty.
Duty.
That's Jesse Brooks there, if you're on Facebook.
Hey there.
He is doing the Podcast 30 video stuff. And Autumn Fisher is joining us. And I'm assuming Greg's not, I guess.
I haven't heard.
Greg is not.
He's working, finally.
He's working, man. All right, well.
Yeah.
Then he should quit his job and he should join us.
You're right.
No, number one, first things first. We got to get your computer fixed, Autumn Fisher.
What's up?
There's been a burp.
Garbling.
It's been going on for like a week or so. So we got to, that has to become in the next few days a big thing. Secondly, with Autumn Fisher.
What?
Where do we stand with glass top table? Glass top
desk gate.
Yeah, desk gate. Yeah. I don't know. So I looked in your email, Eric. Well, I looked at your email, and I didn't see an email from them, and I looked through my email. I didn't see an email. So,
what did they say they were going to email you?
Well, remember when Tim and I did the reenaction of my online chat with the company?
Yes.
Yeah, so they said that they would be searching their warehouse and stuff to
if they could find it.
And they'll let us know within a couple days. So I hoped that they would email over the weekend, but they didn't.
Wait a minute. I got, I might have,
Yeah?
It's possible.
All right, you should. I told them to email me because I didn't, suspected that you wouldn't be on top of it.
TikTok to shop incredible deals. No, that's not it.
The subject would be something about like inquiry or customer something.
Yeah, I'm not getting any of that. I'm just getting
They just haven't done it yet.
I'm just getting
which email address did they use?
The pitch. Wait a minute. I might have something here. Wait a minute. Parts request.
Oh.
I was starting to process your request for the tabletop, and unfortunately, this item is only the base and not the top.
Oh, it's true.
Wait a minute. That's January 11th. When did you talk to him?
No, that's right. That's the right thing. Because we talked on the Friday
show. If you want to return the base,
show.
Let us know. We'll set that up for you at no charge. I'm sorry that the listing was misleading. So at least they admit.
Can they not send the top?
No, what did they say at the end before? Sorry it's misleading?
If you want to return the base, let us know and we will set that up for you at no charge.
Yeah, do you want to return it, the whole thing, and just start over? Because it seems way too expensive for just that base.
Yeah, probably. It's just a pain.
Well, how much is the top? If the top isn't that expensive.
Well, no, that's what I'm wondering, though, is if I can get somebody just to cut me a piece of glass.
Oh, absolutely.
And basically have what I...
You got to talk to your listeners.
But then again, I'm going to have to pay for that, where I've already paid for, you know, this was $320-some
dollars. A piece of glass won't be that expensive from like a glassmith or a window person.
I don't understand why the base, those like... You know,
I can't understand it at all. That's why it was deceptive, because nobody would think they're paying $300-some-odd
can I just say
for that.
There's some fine glass top tables at IKEA just across the street.
I'm not looking for a table. I'm looking for a desk.
Yeah, you should go to IKEA.
IKEA has
they have
glass
some cool stuff.
Yeah.
I went to IKEA online. I didn't see what I wanted.
You got to go walk around and get some meatballs. Check it out.
Get some meatballs.
It makes a whole difference. Get some of those meatballs in here before you go shopping. Oh,
are you maintaining that the meat is still horse meat in the Swedish meatballs?
Swedish horses?
I believe there was some sort of scandal, but not in the United States.
They're delicious.
No. They are delicious.
It tastes like Thanksgiving. Hey, you put a little bit of the
gravy stuff.
The horse meatball, the gravy, the mashed potato, and the lingonberry sauce.
Lingonberry, that's it.
Let me just tell you something. Those horses are already dead.
What, the ones that are in the meatballs? Yeah. Of course they are.
So they would have been killed for other purposes, right?
And
they wait for horses to die of natural causes.
It's not a horse.
Most of the Swedish horses believe in eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was their time to go. I believe that there was a legitimate scandal, but I don't think it was everywhere.
It wasn't.
And,
was that where Willie Nelson saved the horses from?
From IKEA.
Willie Nelson.
The Swedes.
There were 70 horses that were heading to the abattoir, and he saved them all. Put them on his ranch.
Well, that's fine.
What a good old stoner.
I've been to Willie's ranch. Did you know that?
You've been to Willie's ranch?
I have.
Maybe that's why you got that painting your side on Saturday night, Sunday morning.
It wasn't recently. Okay. It was one of the years I was at South by Southwest.
Are you serious? You went to Willie's ranch?
Yeah, he does. Willie wasn't there.
No.
I mean, if he was there, he wasn't anywhere I saw him. You'd think he might be there. It was South by Southwest. No, there are shows that he puts. There's an area where you could have public shows.
Yeah.
And then it's dressed, it's set up like an old town, old Western town.
Huh.
So there's a church and a post office and all these
saloon,
and a saloon and all that. Yeah, it's really cool. And then you've got like those hippie Christmas lights strung
is
everywhere.
Is there a water tower? One of those water
There
things?
Might be. I don't know. I can't quite remember.
The windmill.
I was on alcohol and more when I was there. And there was the
my favorite kind
solo
of
guy more. From Manchester
Orchestra.
What's the guy, the lead guy?
Can't remember his name.
It was his solo thing.
Yeah, he's from Atlanta.
It was, he's from Atlanta?
He's from Atlanta, yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Tell me he was from Atlanta. I'm not gonna make any enemies. I thought it was a little bit after, I don't know, it was a little bit less than what I expected.
Sure.
But it was fun because I was on, Willie's place or Willie's ranch or whatever the hell's coming. You have to go up until the, it takes a while to get there. You're off in these back.
Forward me that email that they gave you so I can respond.
About Willie's Ranch or about the glass table?
Both.
Both. I want to tell them that, listen, this guy's been to Willie's Ranch. I need more information on how to return this thing.
You may want to pay a little more attention here. You're dealing with a guy
who's
been to Willie's Ranch.
And then they respond, oh my, yes ma'am, right away.
Any friend of Willie Nelson is a friend of ours.
A friend of Overstock.com.
Yeah, bless them.
Hey, I'm not going to go after it. I obviously the words table base are there.
Yeah.
But I would just say that the listing shows the glass top the whole time, and it's
and
not a
the
reason.
Description of the materials say metal and glass.
Yes. So where does the glass come from?
Is the glass inside the metal
you
legs?
It's a table half empty is what it is.
That's exactly what it is. And I hate sending things back. I already tore up the styrofoam.
Yeah, I sold a pile of trash in your office.
I got to put it back in
there. Well, and a lot of times
there
are places that will take it and like package it for you.
Did you order it through Amazon?
No, Overstock.
Oh, because I had to return a microphone to Amazon the other day.
Yeah.
This mic that went kaput after a month. Take it to UPS. They take care of everything.
Yeah, they've got a deal with UPS. I don't know if Overstock
does. So will Kohl's.
Kohl's, man. I heard they're about to go out of business. They had the worst retail December Christmas.
Kohl's dip?
Yeah. Nobody's going to Kohl's anymore.
I never shop at Kohl's. I've never been to a Kohl's.
My wife used to shop there a lot, and she liked the Kohl's cash.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, well, I haven't been shopping there much lately, but I think everybody's going online.
I mean, clothing is still, I think, difficult to buy online.
Yeah, you got to try it on, right?
Yeah, there's so many disparities between sizing, and I don't know if that's so much for men, but especially for women.
No, it's true, even with pants.
But here's the thing. Once you've gone and tried one thing on and you've bought it, then you can buy it online if you're the same size.
That's true. That's what I do with bras.
Same article of clothing, same size, same retailer.
That's what I'll do with my bras.
Your bras?
My bras.
Your bras?
Your size and your logo
doesn't that change?
There?
Doesn't that change on a yearly basis?
Not
a
yearly.
Bit?
I think it's more of a decade to decade change.
Well, 10-year bra.
I mean, maybe you lose weight.
Yeah. Or maybe you gain weight.
I only gain weight in my bib.
Autumn never, never, ever gains weight. I don't know if Overstock does that same thing with
bras. I'm not sure, but it will be a pain in the butt to return, because how are you going to put it back in the box?
Yes, it was all in there perfectly with the styrofoam, and you know me, I'm an animal.
Here's what you got to do. When you get a product like that, you just slice the tape and open it carefully and see what exactly is in there before you start shredding all the pieces.
I don't do it very often.
Will you be able to put the things back in the box? Like, is the box ripped up or is it just the styrofoam?
I
think the
all I saw was a pile of cardboard in your office. I went looking for you this morning.
All right, well then you know what?
They got to send me a new box.
Take care of it. They should send you a new box.
That's what they're going to do.
With a return label.
You're going to have them do that.
Breaking news from the royal family.
Yes.
Queen agrees, period of transition in which Harry and Meghan will spend time in Canada and UK.
So what she said is, I'm not going for this full thing, but let's see if you kids can work this out.
He's
going
to have a rumspringa.
That's what it is. You go to Canada and do a bunch of meth.
There's even another royal story now. Harry and William deny offensive bullying claims.
Yeah, I saw that. Who cares?
Duke of Sussex.
We want to be financially independent. We're going to start out with 35 million pounds. We're just like you. We want to be normal, regular people, just like you. Start out with 35 million pounds. No problem. No problem. Oh, the thing that you brought up earlier about not being able to buy clothes online. I keep seeing these commercials where they say they've got this algorithm where all you have to do is take your iPhone or your Samsung or whatever and take pictures of yourself.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And then they can figure. I just don't think that's going to be very effective. Do you?
No, it's this. You know what? They're giving jobs to those carnival people who like, step right up. Yeah. I'll guess your weight and your age.
Guess your weight. I could never do that. I'm not good at guessing anybody's weight.
Or age. I'm horrible with age,
I'm
too.
Pretty good with ages.
I'm terrible with age. No.
I'm pretty good with age.
Hey, people with the Botox you don't know. Like Jesse Brooks here.
Hey.
I have no idea how much you weigh.
Okay.
I'm guessing you're 30 because you went to school with Jared.
Almost.
Okay. So you were, you 1 year behind
No,
him?
Jared's just old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What are you, a buck 70? You a buck 70?
A little under.
Okay. Oh, yeah. See, I never would have known that. I can't figure it out. I'm not good at spatial guessing. I'm not. If you walk into a place with a crowd, other people, there's about 3,000 people, or there's about 500 people. I can't do that. Yeah.
Me too. You know, like when people, like there was things at school where it was like, guess the amount of jelly beans in this jar and you get it. I'd be like, I don't know. But there's like 3,000.
Yeah, but you know, that was the only thing I ever won in my life.
Jelly beans.
I've told you. No, I didn't get the jelly beans. You guessed the number of jelly beans in a jar. I was 5 years old. I thought that I was getting started. It was like beginner's luck. I thought, wow, I'm going to be a lucky person.
Were you spot on or how far away were you?
I don't
know.
My whole life I thought, man, I'm going to be somebody who wins things because I'm five. And I guessed closest without going over or whatever the rules were to how many jelly beans were in this jar. And then I won a jar full of, I think it was nickels or something, pennies or nickels. It wasn't quarters. That'd be way too much. But it was a big jar. This was at the Ohio State Fair in 1969 or 70. And so I won that. And as I've told you before, I don't remember spending the money. My parents probably bought cigarettes and
magazines,
beer with it.
They had to roll all the coins themselves.
They had to roll them all or take them down to the bank. Hey, whatever this is, but they probably gave me some kind of token thing. I was five. They could lie to me. I didn't know what that was going to buy.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So that's the one thing that you couldn't, do is the one thing I ever did, which obviously at 5 years old was a complete and random guess.
Yeah, fluke.
Because nobody was more out of it at five than I was.
And look who's unlucky with your table, with your desk.
Yeah, no, this is a good thing that I don't waste money on the lottery. I don't gamble in any way because there's nothing in my makeup that says you'll get big winnings. You just got to go out there and get it and earn it, and then you'll be lucky even if you get it. That's the way that I look at life. And so I don't waste a bunch of money trying to make other money. So I think that makes me a great person.
I'm good at guessing people's ages.
Yeah, how old are you?
Especially when they're half my age and female.
Yeah, that's like
really good at that.
It goes to dateable.
Yeah.
If under 30, the 52 one?
Yeah, 26, 27, yeah.
What are you, 51, 52?
52.
52. And you haven't dated anyone over the age of 27 or 8 in years.
No, somebody became 29 during the dating process.
And that's when it ended. It ended shortly thereafter.
It didn't end because of the age.
Okay, you're saying that. I'm just saying coincidentally, it did. So, I don't know. So, okay, we've established. Okay, we're going to take care of Tablegate.
Yep.
And you got to get your computer fixed.
I don't know what that means. How do I get? I mean,
well, just like we set up the other one. I mean, it just has to be set up better. It's just not working.
Set up better? That doesn't mean.
Well, I mean, you got to get a better either higher speed internet or something. Can't be
my
running around.
My speed is really fast.
It's funny as you said that you cut out. What?
If you give me the sizes of this glass top table you want.
You probably know somebody who could do it.
No, that or I'll go to IKEA and find one for you.
You know what? I should probably
bring it in, set it up. Done.
I should probably see how expensive that is.
Yeah.
But here's the problem, though. You got to drill holes in it because the glass that comes
with it. No, I'm saying I'll go to IKEA and just buy a whole new thing. We'll scratch that
so
one.
So you're telling me that they don't even have.
That's a weird thing.
They don't even have that slab of glass that I could buy from them?
I bet you can.
No, I'm sure they do.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is the weird thing. How would I know, buying another slab of glass, that's the exact slab of glass that fits this desk?
I know.
The holes.
I don't.
I guess with these, with the way the legs are, you could put them anywhere. I don't know.
You don't know.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look and see how much it would be.
I'm looking on Amazon for glass for a table.
All right. What else are we going to talk about?
No, but there's one that comes with this one.
No,
it probably recommends it.
Hey, look. 29-inch square clear tempered glass tabletop, 3/8 inch thick, $89.
Ooh.
That's only 29 inches, though. That's not that big.
It's not very long.
Here, this is, let me look at
it's
the description.
It's 2 feet and some.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 26.
Sure, this is fascinating for people
26
listening.
26 inches long.
What, the table that Eric has?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one's bigger.
26 inches, that's all?
Yeah, it's a desk. It's not a runway.
26 inches, it's just over 2 feet.
Yeah, it does seem kind of small, doesn't it?
It's like a school desk. What the hell did you buy?
Oh, but listen, Eric.
Yes.
You can get any size length table you want.
Right, but
glass top.
But I have to be able to drill. I have to know somebody knows how to drill holes
or you glue
in glass.
It. Or
no,
you
no,
glue
no.
It.
I'm saying.
Oh, you glue it down.
You can glue it. You can get some epoxy probably.
But no, you'll see through that. You'll see it underneath the glass.
Well, I'll put cup holders.
I like how the people who have never put a glass table together are talking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you even on Overstock, if you wanted to get a longer length glass top, the holes would still be the same inches in from the outside. The length in between those would just be longer.
Okay.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay.
I'm so lazy.
Let me look up this glass top.
I just hate doing stuff like this.
24 inches deep by 48 inches wide rectangle glass tabletop, $134.
Where?
Amazon. That's just the glass itself.
How long
That's
is it?
That's just the glass.
4 feet. It's 4 feet by 2 feet.
But we don't know that those holes will match up.
No, we don't
Not
know.
That it matters because they're like sawhorse. Like, what
Did
do you call
say
those?
4 feet wide?
Yeah.
4 feet.
All right, this is 13 inches.
48 inches by 24 inches, yeah.
The width of the table legs that will hold is only 13 inches.
Maybe I bought something for a tiny home. You know those things are very popular
mess.
Now.
Eric, you've got to return that.
Can I tell you something? I have a desk at home that I ordered off of Amazon. It worked out just fine.
Yeah.
Is it glass off? Really messed up. They changed the details.
Yeah. Did they change
it
because of us?
They changed it on the website. Yes, it says
Wait
material,
a minute,
metal.
I should get that glass for free. I think
you
need to call upper. You need to go to the top where the guy goes.
Go over the top.
Yeah, where the guy goes, hey, you know what? We're just going to make this right.
This is messed up, bro.
I was led to believe.
$366 you paid for this.
Yeah.
What? This metal.
Well, it's supposed to be
the options you chose for this says clear finish.
Yeah, so
what do you think that means? Yeah. Do you think that means for the legs is a clear finish?
Look at that, mate. The whole table, flash furniture, glass desk with black pedestal metal frame, not even $100.
Where is that from?
It's Amazon again.
All right. Well, I may or may not like these things, but first thing I want is I want Autumn to put on her I'm going to get this done hat. And I want you to, you know when you can bother people so far at the top that they just say, to hell with it.
And it says top, not included.
Look at that, mate.
It says it in the bullet. Now it does.
Now it does, but before
now
it didn't.
Now it does.
So
we've
affected change.
Yes. they should give you the top for free. But honestly, this table seems way too small.
Yeah, 20, you need, yeah. Here's the thing. Plenty of people on the Facebook Live probably have connections in the glass world. Yeah.
We've got one.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gwen says Diamond Glass and Alpharetta can do any size glass, and they're very reasonable.
And the thing is, these legs are like, when I say sawhorses, what do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
there's like A-frame things. They look like A-frames. Something. They look like something you can just kind of put anywhere underneath it.
Exactly.
Although you have to have it so that
you know
it doesn't collapse in the middle.
I'm going to go look at this table this afternoon before I leave.
Yeah?
I'm going to get the measurements.
You're a handyman.
Yeah.
You know what you're
so
doing.
So on the top,
maybe
on
I can
the
use
top.
It for something, and I'll, you know, we'll do a deal or something.
You know what I really wanted from the starting, and I just couldn't find anything under $1,000. I wanted a standing glass top desk. Those are outrageous.
What do you mean standing?
Well, so a standing desk.
Mm-hmm. You stand. Yeah, because a lot of people in their offices stand up.
I really want to use it as part of a set for a new YouTube thing that I want to do this year.
Yeah.
And I just want it to look cool, and then I got the Hue lighting behind me and the thing, Ooh. And you know. What I would really like is a standing desk that's an architect's table. So the desk kind of is up like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I can have things on there for the camera.
Get yourself a T-square.
Yeah. But then I don't want the T-square. My problem is every one of those desks come with a T-square. I don't need the T-square.
I feel like you just need to take more time on your decisions is what I'm learning here. You just jumped at this table.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I've never
You're
used
so excited.
It.
It was new year, a new decade. You're like,
I'm like, I'm going to get that done. I just knew that my office had been upside down for 2.5-3 months. They're starting
down.
To make fun of me here at the here at the station
yeah.
and the
yeah,
entire building. The security department.
So,
what? Yes.
On the top of the table that I'm sorry, on the top of the legs that you do have.
Yes.
Is there a place where you have to screw in a glass top, or how
I
do you secure
so.
It to the top?
I believe that.
That doesn't
is.
Make sense to screw something through glass.
Well, yeah, well, you put holes in it.
I would think
it,
that there might be like I thought there might be some like rubber stickies that you put on the table on the
no,
leg
no,
top.
No, no, no. What it is I'm sure it. It's, the top of it doesn't look like screws, but it ends up being screws. I saw on. I mean, what this is this the worst podcast ever? We're 20 minutes
no,
in.
No, this is fun.
No, we're
still
talking about. We hit new ground when we started it, where you were going through your emails. Yeah, this and this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It all started with Eric
shopping,
going through his.
It's like the shopping network.
Hey, I can relate to this show. I'm online all the time, and I ignore people around me.
Oh, look at that. A glass top drafting table for $80.
What?
Look at that, mother.
Where? Amazon?
It
I didn't
flips
see it.
Up. Oh, it went away. There, it flips up on you. Look. You got it on the angle.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Look at that.
How much is it? $80?
$79.99.
It probably comes without. It's just the glass
a
top.
A bond
what are the dimensions?
No, it's everything. Hang on. I'm going to get to that part.
What if it's standing?
This is riveting, isn't it?
Yeah, this is great podcasting. Joe Rogan heard this and decided he's quitting. He's getting out of the business. He can't top it.
This thing is just over 3 feet wide.
Good.
40.8 inches wide, 23.6 wide.
That makes
no,
that so much
long.
Better.
40 inches long, 23 wide, and then 31 high.
Perfect.
And it tilts up, and it's got a metal frame.
Oh, why
perfect.
Didn't I see that?
Look at that.
Because you don't know how to do
it. Okay, and it's a company called Bonlo.
Punch you in your computer face.
It's called Bonlo. B-O-N-N-L-O.
And well, she's not going to order it. I have to order it.
All right, well, there it is, mate. If you want a drafting table, there it is.
She's not a thousand.
You can even put
like
drawers in it.
I don't want drawers in it. That,
no, he wants that clean,
I want
modern,
that clean.
And it's got rollers,
boring,
if you want it.
It's got rollers. I can roll it around the office if I want to. I can ride it down
it,
the hall.
Ride it down the hallway. Hey, let's get one of those little electric engines you can
yeah.
power
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
There's
driving
Eric, one of them, on his drafting table.
No, Autumn will be there. I'm going to give her a ride. I'm going to put her on the handlebars.
Yeah.
So I ride around.
And then Jared can be on the other side getting the notes down for tomorrow's show, like drafting.
Wait
show.
Up, guys.
Make a little
so,
sidecar.
So this is too fast.
I have to say that I'm going to, hopefully, it's just one day of jury duty. And when he gets back tomorrow, I'm going to, I think I'm going to chastise him a little bit because I just didn't like his attitude publicly about doing jury
blah.
Duty. I know that we, you know, it's a pain. Any kind of civic service is a pain, but it's a great system. And you can't just have people who are unemployed watching judge shows all day long. You got to have some people who have a life going on that gets interrupted if you want to have a fair jury.
Sure. And when you say publicly, obviously we have to understand publicly in this case means anybody who follows Gerald on Instagram.
So I understand
the whole
that.
Wide world. But...
No, I know, but it's publicly.
Yeah.
It's his Instagram.
Yeah.
No. You know, I understand it's a pain, but once you're there. And
yeah.
it's time to walk
then it's
in.
Kind of fun.
At that point, I would give myself to it and go, look, this is a different experience.
Interesting.
I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to see how good I am at jurisprudence. And I will tell you this. I'm almost a slam dunk.
There it is.
I'm almost a slam dunk to be elected the jury foreman.
So you'd be the one they come to with
come
the verdict.
Come on. I'd
yeah.
have to be.
Yeah.
Come on. Unless like, I get the same day Fred Blankenship's there.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
oh.
He's going to beat me
he's
out.
He's obviously
yeah,
the alpha.
He's the alpha. But I just feel like there's
yeah,
something
I
project that says, this guy's the leader of this room.
If I'm being charged with something and there's going to be a verdict delivered, Fred Blankenship will be the way to go.
Yeah, yeah. Fred tells you you're guilty. You're like, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you for taking the
I
time.
I mean, if Fred's there, I'm pretty sure Oldham will agree with me. I'm going to go down pretty happy.
If I
yeah,
was
I'm
now,
go, yeah, that's
if
right.
I just no. wanted
for my sentence, I meant Oldham. Jesus, or Fred.
Oh,
if I just
yeah, me too.
If I just wanted to mess with the procedure, at some point I would give the Fonzie speech from the Happy Days
Yay!
Episode where he was on the jury.
Well,
I don't know if you remember this case. That Fonzie was on, but and I'm going back to when I was a much younger person. But as I recall the case, it seemed like a slam dunk case where the guy's on a motorcycle, and as he's going by this lady, he grabs her purse and goes off on the motorcycle. And everybody else in the jury room is convinced that the kid's guilty. And then Fonzie, who knows about motorcycles,
he rides them, yeah.
He realizes that he would not have been able to gas up and take the purse with the other hand.
Because your throttle hand.
It was the throttle hand.
Yep.
And then they said, well, it's not for Fonzie. Back in the 50s,
there you go.
That kid probably would have died in jail by now.
So what? That's it.
So it's very important.
I would give the monologue from Dirty Dancing that Baby gives to her dad.
I don't know. I've never seen Dirty Dancing.
Me neither.
I told you I was telling the truth, Daddy. I'm sorry I lied to you, but you lied too. You told me everyone was alike and deserved a fair break, but you meant everyone who was like you. You told me you wanted me to change the world, make it better.
Daddy.
But you meant by becoming a lawyer or an economist and marrying someone from Harvard. I'm not proud of myself, but I'm a part of this family too, and you can't keep giving me the silent treatment. There are a lot of things about me that aren't what you thought. But if you love me, you have to love all the things about me.
Can I step in?
And I love you, and I'm sorry I let you down. I'm so sorry, Daddy, but you let me down too.
I think that's more of a case you make to the jury than that was a beautiful recitation. Don't get me wrong.
So that said, for the Fonzie bringing his knowledge to the case, what do you think Jared Yamamoto would bring?
It's not the Fonzie; it's the Fonz.
The Fonz. What would Jared bring to it to enlighten the accused?
I don't know.
He'd know about boats.
It's about boats.
He's having a good time. You know?
Boats.
He's had a good time. He's got out of hand. It's like,
I don't know if everybody was guilty, but I think that he was probably, right here.
I think that the case, if it had to do with boats or something like that, he would know about it. Yeah. He would know about
There's no way that guy could have got run over by that boat.
He's like, I party on a pontoon. Nope.
Exactly.
He would make some point that really doesn't have to do with
I would love to be in the deliberations. I'm sure, I would say this, I would want Jared on my jury because I think he's a fair-minded person.
All joking aside,
he's intelligent, he is going to bring up something mindlessly irrelevant during the deliberations.
Yeah, there's no way it could have been a bird scooter after 9 o'clock at night because they're not available after 9 o'clock
at night. Well, that's relevant. That's relevant. But I mean,
because my mom lived in Louisiana. And there were birds in the trees there.
You know, Sunday fun day, we wanted 10 pints before noon.
I understand. It happened on a Friday. Fri-yay. Everybody goes a little crazy.
And it was National Teacher's Day after all.
Yeah. And everyone else was just like, this guy's smart, but why is he saying this?
Yeah.
Why is he talking? Okay. Is he done yet? Okay. All right. He's a smart kid. I wouldn't mind him. He'd probably give me the death penalty if he was in the jury in my case.
Jerry?
He'll bring up something about generations.
Yeah.
I know in your generation. That's what he's going to say to some other person on the jury. I know in your generation you thought that, but we're a little different. And then it'll go round and round and round and end up exactly the same spot he started in.
Look, the guy's 45. Like, he hasn't got long to live. Just give him the death penalty.
I'm just hoping it's a one-day case.
Me too, because I'll get more sleep tonight if that's the case.
Are you on call?
I guess I will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seem to know before I leave
this afternoon.
My understanding
is that most cases are just one-day cases. Although we think about the trials that take months.
Yeah.
Those are rare. But hey, he could have ended up on one.
Never know.
In which case, it'd be a good way just to get out of him being producer. It's like
3 months.
I would
love for something. I mean, if something goes longer, let's just say it's something reasonable, like 3 days.
Yeah.
You know? I would love for him to come back and tell us the story of what happened and him be very confused by it and all of us not understand what he's talking about.
So that's
like, you were on this jury?
And that's why we sent him to jail. I don't think this guy should be in jail. You don't seem to understand any of the evidence that was put before you.
So the guy in front, he was in a turning lane. And so the truck was trying to turn left too. But then when the light was green on the other side, and then in the northeast corner of the thing, there was a witness. The witness said that he was turning left, but then I said he was turning right. And then
he looks like a jury foreman, maybe. That's my one thing. I'm going to judge him if he was not. Do they do that in every case?
Have a foreman?
Even the small ones? Do they
have
somebody to speak to the judge and stuff? Yeah, my feelings would be hurt if somebody else. Now, here's a question, though. I don't know much about juries, but what do you do with a dumb juror? Not a malignant juror, not a juror who has any darkness in their heart or is out to get anyone, but just a juror that can't really digest the material, filter it out.
Don't you think that they're filtered out through the process?
No, because you have a questionnaire when you're first asked to do it.
Yeah.
You have to fill out all these questions. I think they would weed somebody out
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But then just the interview process when they're picking the jurors.
Yeah.
Don't you think that they would
ask SAT-like questions?
Does that happen, Oldham, the day you go for the first day of jury service?
No, I don't think so.
None of us has done it.
I've never done it.
Jesse, have you
I've been called that my group didn't make it past the first stage.
I had to go down there and park and sit there for a half a day once, and we were excused. And then the other time, you call a number the day before.
Yeah.
But I knew that Jared was going to, he was in group A. The time that we didn't go, I think I was in C, and the time I didn't even have to drive there, I was in D. But I haven't been called. There was this period of time where I was getting called a lot. But here's the danger. I don't pay a lot of attention to the snail mail anymore. It comes in a bundle. You know, like we check it once every 4 days if we're good. And then I just look through it for something that's actually relevant. Mm-hmm. And although I guess if I saw the legal
I got to say, though, I had an old roommate. He got requested.
Yeah.
And it came in the mail. And my first thought was it was one of those junk like, oh, here's a loan offer or something like that.
Right, right. You really have to
make it look like something
you
normally
get. They really need to stamp on there. This is not junk.
Yeah.
Because you can get in trouble.
I'm pretty sure it does say jury duty right on the outside,
Maybe I read it wrong then.
Well, there you go.
Well, it wasn't addressed to me, so, you know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. What are you doing going through your roommate's mail?
No, it's an old roommate. It's like I'm still getting mail for an old roommate.
Creep.
Like now and again, like he went to Georgia State, so I get like stuff from Georgia State, the magazine, things like
you're 52 years old. Thing. What are you doing living life with roommates?
What
are you doing?
What do you mean?
It's too late. You got to hit the music. We just finally scratched. they're hitting the music on the other side.
The scab is barely picked.
Can you go tell them to start the music? And then we'll end this thing.
Here's the thing. I didn't have a roommate for years and years.
Years and years?
And then my buddy Randy Drake.
Yeah. I like Randy Drake.
I know. He needed somewhere to stay.
I ain't got a problem with that. I'm just looking at you and your life.
Broke up.
52 years of age.
Look,
you
I was
roommates.
Living by myself for the longest time. I was perfectly happy. I can live by myself.
You can live by
it's
yourself?
It's not a money thing. It's just helping somebody out.
Uh-oh. That music tells me.
That music that we had to get activated.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's okay.
Tells me that we're about done. And... Yeah, I have nothing more to say.
And?
Go LSU.
Is that who you're rooting for?
I am.
I lived in Baton Rouge. The second concert I ever saw in my life was at the LSU Assembly Center.
What was it?
It was Foghat.
Oh, yeah.
And Black Oak. They had dropped the Arkansas.
Black Oak. Okay.
Some guy, remember that song, Out There on Thunder Island?
Yes.
His name was Jay something?
Yes.
Don't know that.
That guy was there. Second show I ever saw. First show I ever saw was the Riverside Centroplex in Baton Rouge. It was the first show they ever had there, and that was Kiss. And then
Jay Ferguson.
Jay Ferguson.
Yes.
Absolutely. Is he still with us?
Sha-la-la-la-la-la, my lady.
Is he still with us?
With my hair undone.
There was a moment where Jay Ferguson had to do a thing like old 50s shows. The cops were getting out of hand. He's like, hey, man, let the cops do their job. You do your thing. Let's all get along. I can't remember why I got out of hand. Hey, Black Oak was awesome, though.
I got one more thing.
Yeah.
Go watch some rugby. Rugby ACL. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. It's a great sport.
It's quite obvious that we're done. Thank you, Jesse.
Jay Ferguson is still alive.
What'd you say?
He's still alive.
Is he?
Yep.
Out there on Thunder Island. If you want to find him.
Jay Ferguson.
He's out there on Thunder Island. All right, kids. Goodbye. I love you.
Cheerio. Love you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.